Hello and welcome to the campus of Whiteland Community High School. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Whiteland Warriors in the Indiana High School football playoffs. Well, last week in the sectional championship against arch-rival Decatur Central, your Quakers had an erratic game that largely summed up this season, but they made the plays they needed to get the job done. Just 1 minute and 30 seconds into the game, Decatur Central opened the scoring on a 41-yard touchdown pass from very promising freshman Bo Polston to senior Chris Richmond to give the Hawks a 7-0 lead. And with 5:43 to go in the first quarter, Ashton Vogel added a 31-yard field goal to push the lead up to 10-0. From there, Plainfield's defense stepped up and shut out Decatur Central for the remainder of the game. But on offense, the Quakers struggled to finish drives. And ironically, our comeback began with a big defensive play by one of our biggest offensive stars. With 10:24 left in the fourth quarter, Grant Irwin intercepted a pass and returned at 49 yards for the touchdown. Cameron Grimes missed the extra point, making the score 10-6. And then on Plainfield's last drive, the Quakers nearly gave the game away. At one point, they waited about 10 seconds after a play before calling a timeout. Then on second and one with 24 seconds remaining, Hunter Newell could have easily rushed well into the 10, but instead threw an incomplete pass into the end zone. On the next play, he was sacked for a 6-yard loss that backed Plainfield up to the 19. And then the Quakers called timeout with 5.3 seconds left. Then, however, they made what might end up being the most treasured play in program history when Newell threw a 19-yard touchdown pass to Noah Heslin with 1.3 seconds to go, giving the Quakers only their second sectional championship ever and the first ever for head coach Brian Woodard in his 17th and final season. Okay, hold on. I'm going to start over. I apologize. I didn't realize that the connection was on speaker. Okay, I'm going to restart in 30 seconds. Sorry about that. Hello and welcome to the campus of Whiteland Community High School. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the right. Sorry. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Hello, and welcome to the campus of Whiteland Community High School. My name is Lex Zorn, and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Whiteland Warriors in the regional of the Indiana High School football playoffs. Well, last week in the sectional championship against arch-rival Decatur Central, your Quakers had an erratic game that largely summed up the season, but they made the plays they needed to get the job done. Just 1 minute and 30 seconds into the game, Decatur Central opened the scoring on a 41-yard pass from touchdown. Just 1 minute and 30 seconds into the game, Decatur Central opened the scoring on a 41-yard touchdown pass from very promising freshman Bo Polston to senior Chris Richmond to give the Hawks a 7-0 lead. And with 5:43 to go in the first quarter, Ashton Vogel added a 31-yard field goal to push the lead up to 10-0. From there, Plainfield's defense stepped up and shut out Decatur Central for the remainder of the game. But on offense, the Quakers struggled to finish drives, and ironically, our comeback began with a big defensive play from one of our biggest offensive stars. With 10:24 left in the fourth quarter, Grant Irwin intercepted a pass and returned it 49 yards for a touchdown. Cameron Grimes missed the extra point, making the score 10-6. And then on Plainfield's last drive, the Quakers nearly gave the game away. At one point, they waited about 10 seconds after a play before calling a timeout. Then on second and one with 24 seconds remaining, Hunter Newell could have easily rushed well into the 10, but instead threw an incomplete pass into the end zone. On the next play, he was sacked for a 6-yard loss that backplane filled up to the 19, and they called timeout with 5.3 seconds left. Then, however, they made what might end up becoming the most loved play in program history when Newell threw a 19-yard touchdown pass to Noah Hessen with 1.3 seconds to go, giving the Quakers only their sectional championship ever, and the first ever for head coach Brian Woodard in his 17th and final season. Tonight in the regional, Plainfield tries to keep the Magic Copper ride going, but they're up against the mammoth of an opponent, the Whiteland Warriors, Mid-State Conference rivals who entered this game with a record of 10-1, who were previously ranked number 1 in Class 5A this season and ended up at number 2, and who've beaten the Quakers 11 of the last 12 times, including 45-14 in Plainfield Senior Day just 5 weeks ago. Whiteland enters this game on fire, having opened the playoffs 2 weeks ago with a 63-3 win over visiting Terre Haute North, and then last week won at Franklin, the 8th-ranked team in the conference, in the class, excuse me, by a score of 24-0. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 355 times and passed 254, a ratio of 1.4 to 1. Junior quarterback Hunter Newell has had a good season that's been getting progressively better throughout. He's completed 152 of 250 passes, 60.8%, for 1,794 yards, 15 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions, including only 2 in the last 8 games, both on Hail Marys. His leading receiver is senior Grant Irwin, who's been the hero of the playoffs so far. Irwin has 40 receptions for 590 yards and 7 touchdowns, including 3 in the playoff win at Harrison 2 weeks ago. He also had an interception return for a touchdown that spearheaded our comeback last week against Decatur Central. Behind Irwin is a fellow senior, Noah Hessing, a four-year starter who split time between wide receiver and running back this season. He has 34 receptions for 365 yards and 3 touchdowns. Junior Isaiah Miller has 27 receptions for 318 yards and 2 touchdowns. Junior Caden Vanderbush has 23 receptions for 239 yards and 1 touchdown. And senior Chris Stevens has 11 receptions for 137 yards. On the ground, Noah Hessing leads the way in his first year at running back with 141 yards for 793 yards and 7 touchdowns. Senior Troy Larrison in his first year of varsity football, having moved over from the track and field team, has 84 rushes for 424 yards and 1 touchdown. Senior Antonio Williams has had a quietly good season with 50 carries for 246 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Hunter Newell has rushed 73 times. His total net yards is minus 21 because of sacks, but he does have 7 rushing touchdowns. Meanwhile, Whiteland has rushed 490 times and passed only 90, a ratio of 5.4 to 1. Their starting quarterback is senior Kevin Denham, who has completed 52 of 90 passes, that's 57.8%, for 931 yards, 4 touchdowns, and, 12 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. His leading receiver is Cameron Cooper, also a senior. He has 20 receptions for 407 yards and 5 touchdowns. Meanwhile, junior Gunnar Hicks has 14 receptions for 304 yards and 3 touchdowns, while senior Brady Stanifer has 5 receptions for 65 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Warriors do most of their damage on the ground, and they do a whole lot of it. They have a 5-pronged rushing attack led by senior Peyton Emberton. He's a big college prospect. He has 174 yards for 1,168 yards and 11 touchdowns, followed by senior Jonathan Crowley with 76 carries for 389 yards and 9 touchdowns. Sophomore Nereus Moore-Smith has 42 carries for 536 yards. That's 12.8 yards a rush and 4 touchdowns. Sophomore Malik Perkins has 46 rushes for 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. And sophomore Slate Valentine has 63 rushes for 373 yards and 4 touchdowns. Head coach for Plainfield is Brian Woodard, produced 98 and 84 in his 17th and final season with the Quakers. Whiteland's head coach is Darren Fisher, who's 178 and 72 in his 18th season with the Warriors, and he's 189 and 144 in his 32nd season overall. He's won four sectionals with Whiteland in 2006, 2013, 2014, and 2020. He also won a sectional championship, in fact, the only sectional championship in school history at Cascade back in 1992. Well, at this time, we'll take a short break for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Whiteland for the regional, coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. And hold on, we'll do the end in just a moment. We're going to pause for the national anthem now. Sorry about that. Well, thank you to that solo vocalist, I didn't catch your name, for the lovely rendition of the national anthem. And at this time, we're going to do the words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Whiteland's regional championship on the line, coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. Tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football would not be possible without the generous support of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Janelle Financial, Julia Burbridge, Remax Fairstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland, we're getting ready to kick off this regional championship game between Plainfield and Whiteland. It's a very chilly evening. The temperature is currently 46 degrees. We had a high of 59 today, but it's been dropping fast. Yes, my son Liam pointed out they were playing Eye of the Tiger, the classic by Survivor from the movie Rocky IV, which just had its 40th anniversary this year. And now they're playing Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project. So a couple of melodic rock classics, both from 1982. And now Plainfield's taking the field here. But anyway, it's 46 degrees. We've got a packed house. So we have nearly a full capacity crowd here on the Whiteland side of the bleachers. And even across the field in the Plainfield bleachers, we've got, it looks like, about 75, maybe 80% capacity. I think we've got about 2,500 Whiteland fans, maybe about, I would say, about 400 Plainfield fans. So we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 fans here in the stadium. Great to see that kind of crowd on a cold night like this, you know. Indiana high school football has increased enormously in population in recent years. And now we're getting ready for the kickoff here. Plainfield will receive. It goes deep. It's taken now at about the 10, drop to the 15, 20. And now he's run down just shy of the 20. So Plainfield will start off on offense with 11:55 to go. Hunter Newell in his first season as the main quarterback of the team. He, as a sophomore, shared duties last year with then-freshman Carson Melvin, who ended up transferring to Westfield, leaving Newell as the clear main man behind this offense. So I'm glad Plainfield's got the ball first. You know, Whiteland's lost only once this season. That was to Martinsville, a 4A team, who we beat 21-17. One thing that helped Martinsville in that game, they have 15 more plays from scrimmage. So we got to have that same kind of ball control tonight. We got a complete pass, and it's out of bounds. That was Isaiah Miller there. He picked up about 12 yards, so a great way to start the game for the Quakers. You know, the thing is, one of our keys to victory tonight is to, you know, control time of possession, keep the Whiteland offense off the field as much as possible. They have an outstanding five-prong attack. So first and 10 at the 31. Newell's first pass to Miller goes for 13 yards. And now Noah Hastings takes the ball. He gets it up for about they give him credit for three. I thought he was closer to five, but so now, they give him four, okay, so second and six there. So the thing is, we got to, you know, avoid third and longs here. And the main thing is to, you know, take as much time as you need to score to keep their offense off the field and get some points of our own. So 11:28 to go now here in the first quarter at Whiteland. All three of our playoff opponents this year have been teams we've played in the regular season. Harrison 2 weeks ago, Decatur Central last week, now Whiteland tonight. The Warriors beat us 45-14 5 weeks ago. We're trying to turn the tables tonight as we did against Harrison. So now Newell gets rid of it, and it's he went for Grant Irwin, but it was too short, so it'll bring up a very critical third and six. He at least did get rid of it. He didn't put enough on it to reach Irwin, but it was, you know, it was a good effort. And, you know, we got to, Newell has gotten progressively better at getting rid of the ball he did there. Newell has gotten progressively better in general throughout the season, his first as the exclusive quarterback of this team. He's a junior setting himself up for a big senior season next year, likely to get a college scholarship, probably a lot of offers. So two receivers for the right now, one to the left, third and six for the Quakers. Newell takes it, got time, throws up the middle, and it's intercepted. It's intercepted. I didn't catch you got it, but he intercepted it at the 50. He was on the ground when he got it. So that is not good. And by the way, not counting two Hail Marys, that is Newell's first interception since game three. I'm not sure what Newell was going for then. But anyway, Whiteland will take over at the 50. So disappointing first round for the Quakers. Now that puts a lot of pressure on our defense. We got to avoid going down in the hole tonight. And now we got a fumble. And we got a fumble. Emberton got it. Plainfield saying they have it. 10:57 to go. The clock has stopped. A quick response. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. And Newell throws an interception, and then Whiteland loses a fumble on their first play. What luck for us. We take over now at the 46. And now Grant Irwin catches it, but he's hit immediately, and he might even actually, yeah. So Grant Irwin takes a loss there. So disappointing start to the drive, but, you know, still got, you know, it's only second down. We got time to, you know, get it turned around. Second and 12 at our own 44. Each team has already committed a turnover here, and it's not even 2 minutes into this game. Plainfield very lucky. So now, a handoff to Hensling. He's got a hold, past the 50, past the 45, past the 40, and he's brought down around the 37, so big gain there by Noah Hensling. So now first and 10 for the Quakers at the 37. That was a gain there by Noah Hessler of 19 yards. He gets it again, and this time they're ready for him, and he picks up just a yard or two. So two rushes by Hessler now. First one for 19, second one for one. Noah Hessler having a great senior season, especially considering that he was expected to learn a new position this year while sticking to his old one. So second and 9 for the Quakers at the Whiteland 36. No score here in the regional, 9:15 to go in counting. Three receivers to the left, none to the right. Now Newell throws deep. He's got a man open, and it's incomplete. Just a little bit off. He was going for Isaiah Miller. So in the first 3 minutes, Newell's already thrown 5 passes. He did throw an interception, but on Whiteland's first play on offense on the ensuing drive, they lost a fumble. So now a big 3rd and 9 for the Quakers at the 36. Noah Hessling is the running back. We've got Grant Irwin, and then two other receivers to the left. Fans jumping on the bleachers here. Now big handoff, and it's a pass, and we got the first down. All right. All right. That was Isaiah Miller, already his second of the game. So 12 yards there. Those two connected for a 13-yarder earlier. So I like the way the Quakers are moving the ball. Already 6 passes there in the first 3.5 minutes by the Quakers, 2 receivers each side now, 1 running back. Now high snap, and now a screen pass, and they got him again for a loss. That was Vanderbush there on the reception. So Vanderbush for minus 2. So and now we got some movement on the line. I think it's going to be against. Okay, it's against Whiteland, so it's offside. So we got 5 free yards there. So that'll take us from second and 12 to second and 7 here. So Hunter Newell, second and seven now at the Whitelands 21. Two receivers now to the right. One running back. Hands off to Heston. He's got some room on the left side inside the 20. Doesn't get much, though. Just about one or two. So to bring up third and five or six. 7:36 to go. Plainfield. Third and six at the 20 for the Quakers. Now we got Vanderbush and Irwin lined up to the right for the Quakers. I believe Larison is in there at running back now. Snap. Now it's Heslin gets it, and he spins around, and he might have the first. He got a little yardage after tackle, and then turned around and fell forward, and I think he might have it. It looks like he does. If not, he's within a foot or so. They haven't signaled, though. Now they're saying a yard short. And one of the commentators for the other crew said he thought that hasn't got it. Well, looks like they're going to go for it. Probably a quarterback sneak. Oh, he fumbled! And Whiteland, oh no. He fumbled Whiteland, got the ball. They fell on it, so they won't be able to advance. But, so, Plainfield, oh man, we got it in the red zone, and then, oh no, that's bad. So already, each of the three possessions combined by the two teams in this game have ended in a turnover. That's not good. Yeah, rather than, Newell was in shotgun rather than under center, and he bobbled the snap, like it just got too excited. And now Peyton Emberton, and he's brought down right around, the line of scrimmage. I think he picked up one. Only the second play from scrimmage for they give him credit for two. Only the second play from only the second offensive play for Whiteland. We got to dominate time of possession today. That's probably we're probably going to have a really strong advantage in that area to have a shot to win here. So now. Malik Perkins gets it. He had a 57-yarder against us a few weeks ago. We only picked up about two or three there. In fact, I believe he opened the scoring in that game. So he only gets one. So we got the Warriors in third and seven now. One of the biggest Achilles heels we've had all year is struggling to get teams off the field on third and long. We've got to correct that here. We've got to get the ball back. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. And now we pressure the quarterback, and he throws deep downfield, and it is fumbled, and it's incomplete. All right. So Whiteland, that's the great thing about getting an offensive-dominated team in third and long. A team that doesn't throw a lot, and you induce them to throw. And a lot of times it doesn't end well. He threw deep, and it was broken up. So no harm done. 5:10 to go. Now we got to get the ball, and if we have to run it in the second quarter, that's fine. Just get a score. And now a high snap, but the punter gets it. He does get the punt off. It's a good punt, and it goes way downfield. A huge punt, a huge bounce. And inside the 10. Oh, my God. And they say about the 6. They say it's up to some 26 to the 6. Oh, my God. That's a 68-yard punt. That was an incredible bounce. It did about 20, 25 yards worth of bouncing there. So the Quakers take over around the 6. So Plainfield, with their third possession, their first two ended in turnovers, one with an interception, the other with a fumble, but they're still even at zero. And Whiteland, only four offensive plays in the first 7 minutes. Remember, their only loss to Martinsville, Whiteland had 15 fewer plays. We'll probably need a similar margin tonight. And now Hessing gets, it looks like, about three or so. Hessing already with his sixth carry of the game. Let's see how many they give him. Give him four. So I have him 6 for 34 now. So 4:35 to go. Still no score here in this regional. Got a near capacity crowd here at Whiteland, despite the cold temperature, 46 degrees. And now it looks like he might have the first down. It's going to be really close. Heslung has been quite ubiquitous for the Quakers this year. They gave him four. They're bringing up a big third and two. Let's just keep the chains going. Three receivers now to the right. I believe Heslung is still in there at running back. We've got, Vanderbush, Miller, and Irwin in there. And now Heslung, he goes there. I think he's got the first and maybe a little more. He got it. All right. So we got a fresh set of downs here, 3:49 to go. Good job, Noah. All you got to do is average the 3.4. So now it gives the testing again, and he doesn't get, he gets to see what they give him there. So I give him one there. Already 9 carries by my account for Heslung. I have him with 43 yards. Second and 9 for the Quakers at the 19. Five seconds, and the play clock now. Newell takes it a yard. Where's deep? He's got a man. Oh, nearly caught on a tip. I believe that was Irwin. He threw it into double coverage, and it was tipped. And Irwin nearly got it. So Newell has completed 4 of 8 passes, 21 yards. No touchdowns, one interception, but the interception turned out to be harmless because Whiteland lost a fumble on its next play. So 2:38 to go here. 3rd and 9 for the Quakers at their own 19. Still no score in the regional. Only the second regional Plainfield has ever played in. The first was in the year 2000 when Brian Woodard was an assistant coach. And now Newell takes it, rolls to his left. He's pressured. He better get, and he throws here right, but that could be additional grounding because he was not close to anybody. But they just counted incomplete. Very lucky. And, you know, I really thought it more than likely should have been intentional grounding. I mean, you know, I'd have to see a replay to say for sure, but that's how it looked to me. And now it finally a much belated flag. So it looks like the Quakers on 4th and long will be punting from their end zone. So hopefully we'll be able to contain their offense. Let's see where they mark it. 2:34 to go. Still no score here between Plainfield and Whiteland. The Warriors have won 6 sectionals and 1 regional in school history. The regional came in 1999. That was their first, they won their first sectional that year too, in fact. They also won a sectional in 2000, and then they won 4 under head coach Darren Fisher, 06, 13, 14, and 20. And now it's a high punt. It's not going to be very good, but it does take a little bit of a playing field. Oh, he shouldn't have touched it. A playing field player touched it, you know, when it was still taking a Whiteland bounce. So Whiteland will take over at about the 25. Excellent field position. So now the... Lark, I think they're going to mark it at the 27. Nevertheless, now the pressure cranked up on the Quakers' defense. So, yeah, we got to stop them here. As long as we keep the score even, I like our chances here. I just don't want us going down in a hole. We've done some good things on offense, but, you know, when we got it in the red zone, we lost the fumble. So, anyway, the Warriors start up at the 27, and he throws into the end zone, and he got it for a touchdown. That was Gunnar Hicks. Well, that's the second time that Denham has gone deep in this game in only five offensive plays for the Warriors. Yeah, so certainly the bad punt and then the premature downing of the punt ends up hurting the Quakers. And now they miss the snap, and they try to run with it, but they don't get it. So the conversion does fail, so it's 6-0, so we can take the lead with the touchdown and a conversion. So a little bit of a break there, but nevertheless, we are in our first hole of the game. So Whiteland has only run five offensive plays, but one of them was a 27-yard touchdown pass. And though Warriors had only thrown 90 passes in their first 11 games coming into tonight versus 490 rushes, over five times as many, their quarterback, Denham, has thrown 12 touchdowns, well, 13 now, and only four interceptions. So a very, very smart, efficient player here. So Gunnar Hicks got the touchdown reception there for the Warriors. So now the pressure will be cranked up on the Quakers offense. This will be their fourth possession. First one ended in an interception. Second one, a lost fumble in the red zone. Granted, it was on fourth and one. And then third possession ended in a punt. So each team with three possessions and only 6 points total. So 6 total possessions, 6 points. So teams struggling to finish drive so far. 2:19 to go here in the first quarter. And now they go for a crazy onside kick. And we go for a fair catch. No. That's a penalty because they did not give him a chance. He called for a fair catch. So, all right. I'm glad that the official caught that. So, yeah, he was hit without, when you call for the fair catch, they're not allowed to touch you until you touch the ball. So, good break for the Quakers. All right. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the fans here seem to think that they had fumbled the kickoff, but no. Heads up play by the Quaker to just call for the, I believe that's a 15-yarder too, but heads up play by the Quakers to call the fair catch. A lot of people don't realize that you can call a fair catch on a kickoff. It's not just for punts. So let's see. Right now the ball is sitting at the Plainfield 36. Yeah, I'm glad that glad they caught the call. So it looks like it's going to be a 15-yarder here. All right. So now it is okay. It's in Whiteland territory now at the 48. So good starting field position. We've got to take advantage of this. We get a touchdown and any conversion, we got the lead. Yeah, somebody just shouted, "You suck, ref!" But you know they called it exactly right. No, the referee made the right call. I mean, he obviously that guy doesn't know the rules. And now I and now fakes the handoff, but they're right on top of it. A dual brought down right around the line of scrimmage. Good fake, but you know Whiteland didn't fall for it. Newell's first rush, the first rush for Plainfield for anybody other than Heslick today. Heslick has 9. So they got him for a 1 yard loss. So 3 receivers now to the left, including Irwin. I think it's Irwin, Miller, and Vanderbush to the left. Then one more to the right. And now makes the handoff, throws up the middle. He's got a catch to Miller, and he's going to be about 2 yards short of the first down. So the third catch by Miller already in this game. Newell's throwing 10 passes, completed 5 of them. That one goes for 9 yards. So now 3rd and 2, big 3rd and 2 for the Quakers at the 40. I assume they would go for it, being that they're, you know, well into Whiteland territory. They trail 6-0 here in the regional, 1:09 to go. And now Hessling with the rush, but they stopped him. He might have gotten 1 yard, but he's going to be short. They might give him forward progress up to the 39. I'd imagine he'd probably go for it, but we'll see. So already 10 rushes by Hessling, 10 passes by Newell. So they're saying no game for Newell. Plainfield is going for it. One receiver to each side, one running back, 40 seconds to go, 17 on the play clock. This will be big if we get it. Come on, boys. Newell gets it, throws. He's got Hessling, he's got a completion, and he's out of bounds after about the 30. All right. No, they said... Incomplete, said incomplete. Okay, I thought, yeah, I didn't see the drop, and neither did the commentary crew next to me, so. All right, so disappointment, but. And now the defense has got to step up. If we don't, you know, if Whiteland gets any score here, including a field goal, it would be a 2-possession lead. And I don't like our chances of coming back from that. As long as we keep within 1, I think, you know, we got a fighting chance at it. So now Whiteland takes over 25.7 seconds to go in the quarter at their own 40, leading 6-0. And now a handoff. And I think that was Slake Valentine there. He's one of 3 promising sophomore running backs for the Warriors. We give him credit for that should be 3 or 4, 11 seconds to go. That will probably be the end of the quarter. 5 seconds left, and it doesn't look like they're in any hurry to get anything out. So after one quarter of play here in the regional game at Whiteland, your score, Whiteland 6, Plainfield 0. When we come back, the Warriors will have the ball 2nd and 6 at their own 44. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football is brought to you by our generous sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CCD Contracting, Geodis, Gunnell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Center Store in Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland, we're about to start the second quarter here of this regional game with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Whiteland Warriors 6-0. The only score of the game came on a 27-yard touchdown pass from Kevin Denham to Gunnar Hicks with 2:19 to go here in the first quarter. And now the Warriors are with the ball trying to make it a 2-possession lead, 2nd and 6 at the 44. And now a pitch back, and he's got a hole, got a first pass, the 45-40, and he's going possibly all the way for the touchdown inside the 20, and he's got it. That was a 56-yard touchdown pass by Jonathan Crowley, and the Quakers are in trouble now, trailing by 2 possessions. The first long rush for the Warriors in this game. Plainfield had 1 good drive. They got down to the 14, but on 4th and 1, Hunter, you all lined up in shotgun, bobbled the snap, and lost the fumble. That was Crowley's first rush of the game. And let's see, the first conversion failed. It was a bad snap. Now, keep in mind, Mathis, the kicker for the Warriors, is 50-for-52 on PAT, so he's very reliable. But the first snap was mishandled, and the run attempt failed. So now the Warriors going for two to try to make up for the conversion that they missed. And now pitch back, and he's got it. So 14-0 your score now. I believe that was Emberton there on the So now two touchdowns in 2 minutes and 29 seconds for the Warriors to open a 14-0 lead. So now things are starting to look concerning for Plainfield. We've got to get something going on this drive. And keep in mind, Whiteland gets the ball first to start off the second half. Keep in mind that Plainfield has come from behind in the fourth quarter in their last three games, the regular season finale at Martinsville, and then the playoff games against Harrison and Decatur Central. Two of the games we came from 10 downs from a two-possession deficit, both against Decatur Central and then against Martinsville. But we've got to get something going. 14-0 your score now. So now, you know, Plainfield is 6-5 coming into this game, and now the kickoff field is at the 15, and now he's brought up to the 20, 25, and now about the 27. That was Harrison Herbeck, who scored the game-winning touchdown on a fumble return against Harrison. And, you know, I was talking to one of the other radio guys here before the game, and I was talking to him about the Harrison game, and he told me a pun that I never thought of, that Harrison beat Harrison. You know, Harrison Herbeck got the winning touchdown against Harrison. Somehow I missed that. So anyway, Quakers now, two receivers to the left, one running back, Hunter Duell in shotgun, 11:43 to go here in the second quarter, trailing 14-0 in the regional, trying to get something going. The snap. Noah gets it, but he's hit it at the line of scrimmage and gets just about nothing. And they say minus one. So we got to get something going here. We got Irwin and two other receivers to the left now. I think Hessling is still in there. He's had a mixed game so far at running back. So Miller, Vanderbush, and Irwin lined up to the left. 11:03 to go. There's a snap. And now Hessling gets a, and now he breaks through the cycle at the 40, 45. And knocked out of bounds around the 50. That's the kind of play we needed to get the offense sparks there. All right. I'll tell you, when I first saw that handoff, it's like, gee, I think we got to get more creative, but what do I know? So they give Hessen credit for 23 yards there from the 27 to the 50. That's Noah's longest run of the game. Of course, he caught the game-winning touchdown pass last week at against Decatur Central back at Plainfield. First and 10 now at the 50 for the Quakers. 10:56 to go, trailing by 14. Newell, and it's intercepted. It's intercepted. I think he was trying to hit Miller. That's ironic. He was going for Miller and number three, and then it was intercepted by number three of Whiteland, Dalton Hughes. Oh, no. So we're in trouble now. Now the defense has got to just come through with a stop here. Prior to today, Noah Hessling, Hunter Newell. Hunter Newell had not thrown an interception other than a Hail Mary since week three. Now he's thrown two in barely a quarter's worth of action. And you just hope that this doesn't shake his confidence. He's a junior. He's gotten progressively better as the year's gone on. It looked like he was going to split time with Carson Melvin, but Melvin transferred to Westfield, so this has been Hunter's team this year. So now first and 10 at the 48 at the Whiteland 48 for Whiteland. Crowley gets it, and now we hit him behind the line of scrimmage, and he's gang tackled. He might have gotten one or two on forward progress. His first carry went 56 yards for the touchdown. His second carry, far less than that, thankfully. They give him credit for one. So second and 9 at the 49 for the Warriors. But yeah, we can't let them score here. A 3 possession lead would be disastrous. I mean, we would have almost no chance to come back from that, especially since they get the ball first to start the second half. 10:14 to go here in the second quarter. Whiteland already leading 14-0 with the two touchdowns coming 2:29 apart. And now he's got some room on the right side. It's a 35-40. Sorry, 30, excuse me. I believe that was Perkins. Malik Perkins picked up about 21 or so there. 22, it turns out. His first one, they only produced one. That one produces 22. So first and 10 at the 29 for Whiteland. 9:59 to go in county. No, I'm sorry, 9:59 to go and not counting here in the second quarter. So now we've got two receivers to the right, one running back. Pitch back on a reverse. He's got some room, and he gets up for about 5. That was Nerius Morris-Smith, first name spelled N-Y-R-I-U-S. And the last name is M-O-O-R-E hyphen S-M-I-T-H. They give him credit for 4 there, so it'll bring up 2nd and 6 at the 25. Plainfield trying to avoid going down in a 3-possession hole that would be nearly insurmountable. Hoping that this will not be Coach Woodard's last game. And now a pitch back there. And now he's got a first down and more inside the 20, inside the 15. I believe that was Crowley there. He had the rushing touchdown. That would be a 12-yard gain there. So first and 10 for the 13. First and 10 is the 13. And now it's Valentine gets his pitches inside the 10 to about the 8. His second carry of the game. I'll tell you, the sophomores, Moore Smith, Perkins, and Valentine, all doing a great job as sophomores for the Warriors. You can only imagine what that trio is going to be like in 2 years when they're seniors. So Perkins, Valentine, to give him credit for 6 there. Second and 4 at the 7. We got to get a stop here. And now Emerton gets it, and they stop him right around the line of scrimmage. So good stop there. Bringing up 3rd down, a very critical 3rd down. Give him credit for 1. So 3rd and 3 at the 6. We got to stop him here, although keep in mind that their kicker, Mathis, is, you know, a pretty good kicker. This is well within his field goal range. So 2 receivers to the left. And now it's quarterback sneak, I think he's got the touchdown. He's got it. So a 6-yard quarterback sneak by Denham. And now the Warriors take a 20-0 lead with the conversion pending, and things getting very concerning for the Quakers. We held even with them for nearly a quarter. Now we're falling apart very quickly. Mathis now as the extra point. It is up and it is good. He's 51 for 53 now. So, with 7:23 to go here in the second quarter, the game now is slipping away from Plainfield. They trail 21-0 here in the regional. The winner of this game will play the winner of the Bloomington South Castle game that's being played tonight at Castle in the community of Newburgh, in the very far south of the state near Evansville. And what now is the very unlikely event that Plainfield wins this game, they would play at Bloomington South or host Castle. And the Castle game would most likely be played on Saturday afternoon rather than Friday night because of the distance between the two teams. First things first, you gotta, come back here. I'm not giving up on these kids. You know, it's bleak, but we're not out of it yet. So Castle leading Bloomington South in the first quarter. And now the ball falls off the tee, and now a player's actually going to, hold it in place, which is legal. He's not going to hold it in place. And it's an unplaced kick. We better get ready for it. Did we get it? Boy, we look completely unprepared for it, which is that there's no excuse for that, especially after they've already, done one to us today. Oh, my God. That was a close one. That would have been a disaster. They would have had a chance. Whiteland would have had a chance to make it 28-0 and then get the ball first to start the second half and make it 35-0 and put us to a running clock. So now three receivers to the right for the Quakers. One running back, 7:22 to go in the second quarter. And we fumble it! Oh, no. Oh, no. Newell falls on it, but that's a loss of about 6 or 7 yards. Plainfield is falling apart at the seams. This is not, look, if this was going to be Coach Witter's last game, I was prepared for that. But, God, I just want them to go, at least go down swinging if they're going to go down. Come on, boys, you can do better than this. Second and 16 now at the 32. Things looking bleak for the Quakers now. Second and 16 at the 32, trailing by 21. And now a little snap, and he throws downfield. He's got a man open, and it is nearly intercepted. Oh, my God, he's lucky it wasn't. Isaiah Miller appeared to be open, but Malik Perkins ran, super fast to catch up and almost did. Newell has already thrown 13 passes in this game. 5 of them have been completed, but 2 have been intercepted. And only 30 yards. Grant Irwin, only 1 reception for minus 2 yards. We've got to get him into the action for him. Third and 16. Come on, boys. Make the play of your lives right here. And Newell gets and he's hit. Newell hammered from behind. So Murphy's Law taking effect for the Quakers tonight. I don't think Newell saw it coming. And it's going to be a loss of 3 or 4. And, I didn't expect Plainfield to win tonight, but I expected better than this. But, you know, one thing it's important to remember, we could have easily lost to Harrison 2 weeks ago. We could have easily lost to Decatur Central. We had some outstanding plays in both games, but we also had some very bad plays in both games. So, and now we got a penalty against Whiteland. A 5-yard penalty against Whiteland, so that we get 5 more yards for the punt, but that's not much consolation at this point. 5:45 to go. And then nearly a block, but he does get the punt off. And it takes a great Whiteland bounce, and it could go, it's inside the 10, inside the 5. It could go down to the 1. And it does. All right. So hopefully we'll either get a safety or a fumble or something. Or maybe a 3-and-out and they punt from the back of the end zone and we get in good field position and score something, you know. So that is a 65-yard punt. So that each punter with an 60-plus-yard punt tonight. Of course, you know, I remember last year at Decatur Central in the regular season, we had a punt that, you know, went out of bounds that we downed at the 1. And then on the first play of the ensuing drive, Caleb Hicks of Decatur Central took it in 99 yards for the touchdown. To this day, in 119 varsity games, the only 99-yard touchdown rush I've ever commentated. And now quarterback sneak, and I think he might have gotten 1 yard. So let's just go out for an all-out blitz, try to force a safety or a fumble or something, boys. Make something happen. So 5:15 to go and counting, and it looks like that was Dim's first rush on the game, by the way. The first one was the touchdown. And they said no gain. All right, so. So 2nd and 10 at the 1 for the Warriors. Let's just hold them. And now we've got a looks like we got a whistle here. I didn't see a flag. If there's a flag, it was out of my vantage point. 4:52 to go here in the second quarter. Whiteland 21, Springfield 0. The Warriors, however, have the ball. All right, offsides against the Warriors, so half the distance to the goal, so I guess they'll back it up about an inch or so. Anyway. I didn't even see the flag, but anyway. A 65-yard punt. A 65-yard punt by the Quakers. One of the few highlights for Plainfield tonight. Hopefully it'll result in some points for us. So now 2nd and down and 10. And now there's a rush, and they do get a few yards there. So that'll be 3rd and 7 now at the 4. Hold on. So, be 3rd and 7 at the 4 now. Yeah. So hopefully we'll get something going here. Hopefully they won't get the first down. That's the main thing. 3rd and 7 now for the Warriors. And now he's got a few yards. Did he get the? He might have the first. It's going to be close. Crowley. So they give it to Crowley. So he's going to be about a yard short. Or maybe 2. So it looks like they will be punting from their end zone at least. I can't imagine they would go for it here. So 3:26 to go. And now we've got Plainfield taking the timeout here, realizing that they're in a desperate situation. Whiteland is about to punt from their end zone. you know, and the broadcast crew here seems to think that maybe Whiteland was planning a fake, which would be very, well, actually, come to think of it, with the, you know, the way that Whiteland's been playing in this game, it wouldn't be that high risk, because even if Plainfield were to get a touchdown here, it would still be 21-7, and Whiteland gets the ball first to start the second half, only 3:26 to go here in the first half. But anyway, we hope this will not be the last game for head coach Brian Woodard here at Plainfield. Right now it looks like that's a strong possibility, but, you know, we've pulled off, you know, a few improbable triumphs this year, including last week, you know, that game, that last play from Newell to, Newell to Hessling, 19 yards. And, my broadcast partner, Rob Kendall, and I went crazy. I think I went even crazier than he did. He was doing the play-by-play. I'm not sure I would have been coherent at all if I had been. So now punting from the end zone. It's a very low punt, and it's out of bounds. I'm not sure what went wrong. I guess it maybe just hit his foot the wrong way. But anyway, it went out of bounds, I think, around the 25 or so. So Plainfield, no excuse for not getting a touchdown here. They take over 3:18 to go. It's trailing 21-0. We've got to get something going here. That's all there is to it. 27 yards now. And like, you know, like I said, you know, each punter's had, you know, a 60-plus yard punt today. So the Quakers take over at the 27. So we've got two receivers each side now. Newell gets it. He's got plenty of time. Screen pass. Oh, it's nearly. I think there might have been passes. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it was an easy call for me. Yeah, it was. It looked to me like it was. He clearly got hit before the ball got there. So that's 15 yards. So, all right. So basically, we're effectively starting this job. Effectively starting this drive at the 12. No excuse for not getting a touchdown now. All right. You know, I don't mind. I love, you know, I'm a Plainfield guy, but, you know, I love the opponent's fans cheering for their teams, but I don't like it when they clearly commit a penalty and the fans get mad because it's called. That's just going too far. So now, first and 10 at the 14 for the Warriors, or for the Quakers, excuse me. Trailing 21-0, only 3:15 to go here in the first half. Got to get something going. Two receivers deep side now. Now it takes the handoff, throws into the end zone. Incomplete. So. All right. 3:09 to go now in the first half. Second and 10. So now let's see, we got Miller and Vanderbush lined up to the left. And I think it's Hessling and Irwin to the right. And we got one running back here, fakes the handoff. Now Newell throws it in, and he's got a catch down to about the 6 or 7. That was Miller. And I'll tell you, you know, Miller is the leading receiver who's returning next year. So it's good to see him getting some good moments tonight. He has 4 receptions for 41 yards. And those are the only 4 positive gains that Newell has tonight. His other 2 receptions, his other 2 completions were both for negative yards. So 2 receivers each side now. Now, handoff there to Hessling, and he's going to be, gets a yard or 2. It's going to be short of the first, a yard or 2 short. So Hessling picks up 1 yard there. 13. Well, if this would be a 23-yard field goal, certainly within Cameron Grimes' range. No, they're going for it. Fourth and two. Or maybe trying to draw him off. And now, if he plows, he might have it. I think it was a direct step to Hessigan. I think he did have it. Yes. Which is important also. So Noah Hessigan, they changed a lot of personnel. I thought they were going to go for a field goal, but no, they went for it. Hessigan gets credit for three. So we got a fresh set of downs, first to go up to three, 1:35 to go. Still two timeouts, a full range of options. Two receivers now to the right, one to the left, Heston, the running back. And now third from the end zone, and he's got it for the touchdown. All right. Isaiah Miller with his fifth reception of the game, the first score for the Quakers. So the Quakers get a little bit of momentum going here. Boy, did we ever need that. Like my son said, what a relief. Yes, indeed. So anyway, now the extra point by Grimes is up, and it is good. So with 1:21 to go here in the second quarter, Plainfield showing a little bit of life. They get the first score of the game, cut the score to 21-7 here at Whiteland in the regional. Newell having his roughest game in quite a while. He got off to a rough start for the season through his first three games, two touchdowns, seven interceptions. Then he slowly started to get better. The two easy wins on the road at Perry, Meridian, and Greenwood seemed to give him some confidence. Then, you know, we got the big win over Decatur Central. And even in the two losses to Whiteland and Franklin, he played decently. And then, you know, overall has been good in the playoffs. So, anyway, Isaiah Miller, the MVP so far for the Quakers in this game, 5 receptions, 44 yards, 1 touchdown. So, Plainfield kicking off. I don't think they would go for an onside kick in this game, although as desperate as they are, especially considering that Franklin gets the ball first to start the second half. You know, maybe Coach Woodard might go for it, feeling adventurous here in what very well might be the last game of his career, but I say you just got to kick deep and then try to, you know, hold him the first, try to shut him down the first possession of the second half, and then get the ball, you know, and make it a one-possession game. And now, however, Whiteland's got a good return here to the 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, and he's tripped up inside the 25. I think that was Crowley. Oh, my God. But they now with 1:09 to go, and they have all three timeouts left. Oh, it's coming back. It's coming back. I missed the flag. Oh, my God. And I'll tell you, Gunnar Hicks is out there just, you know, trying to get the crowd into it, you know, jumping up and down, waving his arms, apparently not realizing that it was coming back. So that's a big big break for the Quakers, because otherwise Whiteland would have had an excellent chance to get all the way in for the touchdown, you know, and make it a three-possession game. And boy, I'll tell you, these Whiteland fans, you know, do they not realize that their guys might commit a penalty every once in a while? Goodness. I do admire, you know, them for filling up the place. And also, you know, the Plainfield fans for nearly going to visit bleachers tonight in these, you know, very cold conditions. So, anyway, Whiteland taking over at their own 30, 1:09 to go still, all three timeouts, still got plenty of time to do something here. So Perkins gets it, but we've got him down, looks like, you know, for a loss. So good coverage there, and now under a minute to go, and Whiteland are still not taking a timeout, and Perkins brought down for minus two. So second and 12 at the 28th, and Whiteland apparently is going to be content for a 14-point lead. They're now only 10 on the play clock, 31 seconds on the game clock. And now a handoff and these brought down, and that will likely be the last play of the quarter. That was a Valentine, and now there is a timeout. Maybe I think Plainfield took the timeout. Maybe they want to get the ball back, you know, with a chance to maybe take one or two shots downfield. So 21.1 seconds to go, and the clock stops here. 8 o'clock your time of day. So now in the first quarter at Castle, the host Castle Knights lead Bloomington South 14-7. The winner of that game plays the winner of this game for the semi-state next week, and the winner of that game will play for the Class 5A state championship at Lucas Oil Stadium on Thanksgiving weekend. So when we resume play, it'll be 3rd and 9, Whiteland, Plainfield, for the Whiteland Warriors on their own 31. Plainfield still has one timeout, so we'll see, you know, if Whiteland, you know, responds to the timeout by trying something adventurous here. We'll see. Whiteland, a very adventurous team. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now, and we got him for a sack. Yes. We hammered him. And we called timeout with 15.3 seconds to go. All right. And that's about a 10-yard loss there, too. That was a power sack. So Whiteland now will punt. And I'll tell you, you know, if we've blocked at least 5 kicks this year, counting punts and field goals and extra points. So, that's, you know, Plainfield, you know, starting to show some life here late in the first half. They cut the lead to 14, and now they've shown a lot of spirit here on defense with that monster sack there. So, Bowie, if we can get a block here, or if, you know, there's a bad snap, or, you know, we can make it a one-possession game heading into the locker room and, you know, have the momentum. So now the and Plainfield with a man deep to receive. It's a good punt though, and it bounces at the it looks like it goes out of bounds at the 38 of Whiteland. So 5.3 seconds to go. So. But, you know, fortunately for Whiteland, that the all the bouncing ended up taking up 10 seconds off the clock. So now not much. Now we can't do much other than a Hail Mary or some kind of trick play. So, I think it's worth it taking at least one shot downfield here. So the Quakers line up. They've got three receivers out to the right, no one to the left. One running back takes the snap, fakes the handoff, his screen pass over to, I believe that was Irwin, and he gets just about 4 or 5, and that will be it. So at halftime here in the regional, your Plainfield Quakers threaten to collapse. They do start to show some life at the end of the half, however. And they go into the locker room trailing 21-7. We'll be back with the recap and the look ahead to the second half after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to thank them and encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berber, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITindy at myitindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Stoley. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland, we're at halftime in this regional game with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Whiteland Warriors by a score of 21-7. It's a game that started off with both teams struggling on offense. Plainfield got the ball first, and Hunter Duell quickly threw his first non-Hail Mary interception since week three. However, on Whiteland's first play from scrimmage, Peyton Emberton fumbled, and the Quakers recovered. Whiteland went three and out, and then Plainfield on its next possession got up to the 14 of Whiteland, however, fumbled on fourth and one, and Whiteland recovered. Finally, with 2:19 to go in the first quarter, following a bad punt that Whiteland recovered at the Plainfield 47 on the first play of the ensuing drive, Kevin Denham threw 26 yards to Gunnar Hicks for a touchdown. However, the snap was mishandled and resulted in a tackle, and the score was 6-0. However, with 11:50 to go in the second quarter, Jonathan Crowley rushed 56 yards for a touchdown, and Peyton Emberton rushed for a two-point conversion to make up for the missed conversion earlier, making the score 14-0. And with 7:23 to go, on a very odd-looking quarterback sneak, Denham scored on a 6-yard rush, and David Mathis hit the extra point, making it 21-0. The Plainfield, however, did finally get its offense going and scored with 1:21 to go in the quarter on a 3-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Isaiah Miller. Cameron Grimes made the extra point. And then on Whiteland's ensuing drive, the Quakers played very well on defense, used their timeouts to try to get the ball back, and they did get the ball back, but with only 5.3 seconds to go, and then the half ended on a 4-yard pass to Grant Irwin, who hopefully is not playing his final high school game. But anyway, a look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell has completed 8 of 17 passes for 44 yards, 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. His first 2 interceptions since week 3, not counting 2 Hail Marys. And his leading receiver is Isaiah Miller, a junior, who will be our top returning leading receiver for next year. Miller has 5 receptions for 44 yards and 1 touchdown. Meanwhile, Grant Irwin has 2 receptions for 2 yards, and Caden Vanderbush 1 for minus 2. On the ground, Noah Hudson has 14 rushes for 70 yards, and Newell 1 for minus 4. Meanwhile, for Whiteland, Kevin Denham has completed 1 of 2 passes for 27 yards and a touchdown. That reception was by Gunnar Hicks, obviously, for 27 yards and a touchdown. On the ground, Jonathan Crowley has 4 rushes for 74 yards and a touchdown, and Malik Perkins has 3 rushes for 21 yards. Slate Valentine has 3 for 10. Clayton Emberton, 3 for 6. Nereus Moore Smith, 1 for 4. And Denham, 3 for -1 and a touchdown. So in conclusion, you know, Whiteland has not been quite as dominant with their 5-man rushing attack as they were in the regular season game against us 5 weeks ago back in week 8 on our senior day. But basically, we just haven't capitalized on enough of the opportunities that we've had. It's really been a tale of the whole season. We've done a lot of good things, but we've also done several bad things that have negated the good. And if we're going to come back in the second half and get to that semi-state next week and prolong Coach Woodard's career, we're going to have to play an A-plus half. No mistakes, no turnovers, no giving up third and longs. And, you know, the thing is, we've played 11 games coming into tonight, so we've played 11 and a half games now. And we've played, in my opinion, we've played our A game once. That was against Greenwood. And really, as the season went on, that game, while we did execute very well from start to finish on both sides of the ball, it doesn't seem as satisfying because Greenwood ended up 1-9 at the bottom of the Mid-State Conference. And usually they're about a 4-win-a-season team. So usually beating Greenwood 43-14 would be a solid win. But this year doesn't mean as much in retrospect. And I think one thing that Plainfield, you know, I think needs to really work on in the off season, heading into Tyler Bless's debut next season as head coach, is playing, you know, your A game from start to finish. We've done, you know, we've had a lot of good sports this season. We've had some monster plays this season, but we've also had some games, we've also had some plays that gave games away for us. We gave away the Greenfield Central game back in week 1. We gave away the Harrison game in week 2. We did, you know, turn the tables on Harrison in the playoffs, thankfully. We beat ourselves against Franklin with 3 turnovers inside the Franklin 10, including one fumble at the one that was returned 99 yards for a touchdown. So there have been a lot of high highs, but there have also been a lot of lows. And, you know, we got lucky that we were in the weakest sectional we've ever been in our 8 years in Class 3A, or 5A, excuse me. So, you know, I will always treasure that sectional. But, you know, some of it was luck. And right now, here in the regional, I'm super thankful to be here, and, you know, especially for Coach Brian Woodard, who absolutely deserves this, all the great teams he's had. You know, it's kind of like when Peyton Manning, you know, won that Super Bowl with Denver, playing the worst season of his career. It's, you know, I was so glad to see him do it. Granted, he won the one Super Bowl with us in 06 with the Colts. But, you know, still, I was glad to see him get multiple Super Bowls. And, you know, I remember when the Detroit Pistons narrowly lost to the 1988 NBA Finals to the Los Angeles Lakers. That was late in the Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar era. Isaiah Thomas, who at that point had never won a championship, said that, he said you have to be good to win a championship, but you also have to be lucky. The Pistons were good enough, but they weren't lucky enough. And they bounced back from that to win the championship the next 2 years. And, you know, a lot of Coach Woodard's teams over the years, especially the early teams, but even some of the mid teams too, like in 2016 especially, were good enough, they just weren't lucky enough. And finally, last week, they were lucky enough, and I'm so thankful for that. And, man, you know, that last play, you know, where it looked so bleak, it looked like we had squandered the opportunity, and then Hunter Newell threw into the end zone and connected with Noah Hensing for the touchdown, all that flow of emotion, maybe the most emotionally satisfying win in program history, and the most emotionally satisfying play in history, and, you know, what a fitting send-off it was for Coach Woodard, regardless of what ends up happening today. And like I said, you know, heading into after we won last week, I said, you know, we're going to be playing with house money, you know, going into the regional, but I still want us to go down playing our A game. So, you know, you go back for, you know, about the first 20% of the game, we mostly kept their offense off the field. They only had four offensive plays the first 9 minutes of the game. So if we can, you know, get that kind of discrepancy in the second half, if we can hold them three and out on their first possession, you know, in the second half, and then get a quick score and make it a one-possession game, we're going to be right in the thick of it. So we just got to, you know, keep their offense off the field as much as we can. And, you know, being down 14, you know, feels a lot better than being down 21. So we still got a shot here. We just got to, you know, get them off the field on third and long, commit no turnovers, score a touchdown on every possession, and try to, you know, hold them at worst for three and out on every possession, if not a turnover. So we're still in the thick of this here. But right now with 4:44 on the pregame clock, let's take a look at how the other Hendricks County teams have done in the tournament. Besides us, there is only one other team in the county who is still in it. That's the Brownsburg Bulldogs. They finished the regular season ranked number 3. They lost only one regular season game. That was the finale to Hamilton Southeastern, who, by virtue of that win, finished at number 1 in the AP poll. Last week, Brownsburg beat another Hendricks County team, Avon, 56-21. Avon ended the season at 2-9 after going 1-9 last year. Mark Bless, the first two losing seasons of his career. Keep in mind, they did win regionals in 2015 and 2017 and had an undefeated regular season in 2019. Hopefully, he will get a chance to get that program back on track. And keep in mind, Avon, they do play the second toughest conference in the state against an average 6A schedule. I think they would have had a decent record, but, you know, I know that, you know, the fans there got accustomed to winning big for a long time. Hopefully that program will be back soon. But anyway, Brownsburg, tonight, in the regional, they, play a major, challenge, the second-ranked Cathedral Fighting Irish, who just last year, on the way to, I believe, their 14th state championship, destroyed us in the first round of the playoffs down at U of I at the University of Indianapolis Key Stadium by a score of 54-7. The tournament win over the last cycle for Cathedral forced them to move up to 6A this year, so they're playing at Brownsburg tonight. So that'd be certainly a big win for the Bulldogs here. And so anyway, hopefully the Bulldogs will get that win tonight in advance of the semi-state. I believe they have not won a state championship since 1985. I think they went back-to-back in 84 and 85, and certainly they'd like to get back this year. They've had a lot of close calls, certainly some outstanding players who've got through there over the years, including, you know, I think about, you know, folks Akin Rabade and Tyler Kurtz and Hunter Johnson. They had those three guys at the same time, and those guys amazingly never won a playoff game, very sadly. But anyway, so once again, Brownsburg at Brownsburg hosting Cathedral tonight in their regional. And then also moving down to Class 3A, Danville ended its season last week with an upset loss to Monrovia in the sectional championship game. Danville really was underrated despite their 3-6 record. They played an extraordinarily tough schedule, probably one of the five toughest 3A schedules in the state. Had some close losses, finished 3-6. But then in the first round of the playoffs, they beat the other Hendricks County 3A team, Tri-West, by a score of 40-21. And Tri-West entered the game at 8-1 and ranked number 11 in the state in Class 5A, or 3A, excuse me. But anyway, Danville ended up losing to Monrovia last weekend. Monrovia had ended the regular season at 2-7. However, their sectional win might signal that the program is finally back on track after three or four down years. They won the 2015 Class 2A state championship against, well, with head coach Kevin Hutchins, also made the semi-state in 2014 and 2016. But then he left, and his replacement coach lasted only a year. And then the new coach had a slow start. You know, when you have any program, even a great program that has three head coaches in 3 years, they're probably going to, you know, have a whole lot of growing pains. But it looks like now Monrovia is starting to get back on track with that sectional championship. And finally, our only 218 Cascade ended the season 2 weeks ago. They won their sectional opener against Greencastle 50-24, and then lost their second round game to Sullivan 30-14. So once again, on Plainfield and Brownsburg, the last two Hendricks County teams in who are still active in the tournament, and now 4 seconds left on the halftime clock, and there's the siren. However, the teams, and now Plainfield finally coming back. Whiteland has already been back on the field. I'd like to know how Coach Woodard. How Coach Woodard I'd like to know what Coach Woodard's halftime speech was, and what could be the final halftime speech of his career as a head coach. Now, keep in mind, Coach Woodard, still by my standards, a young man. I'm 51. He's 48, and he has said this is not a retirement. That he is open to becoming an assistant coach at a small college, but that he is definitely done as a head coach. So, anyway, we're so glad that in his seventh sectional championship game and here in his farewell season, he finally got that much-deserved sectional championship. And they did reset the pregame clock. And my broadcast partner, Rob Kendall, pondered a few weeks ago on the air something I'd wondered but never thought of. Why did they start off with 15 minutes in the halftime clock? Why do they run off 15 minutes on the halftime clock and run it down to zero and then, you know, put another 3 minutes on? Why don't they just put 18 minutes on? But also, before we start off, I just want to talk a little bit about an interesting article I read the other day. Won't directly affect Plainfield, but, you know, I found out that this year, and I'm surprised I just found out a few days ago, but this year, eight-man football actually became an Indiana high school sport. So I found that interesting. Now, I've known for a long time that various states have what's called reduced man football, where, you know, it's football that's played with less than 11 guys on a side. In particular, Texas is famous for a lot of its small schools playing six-man football. And then eight-man football is very popular, in you know, for small schools in a lot of Midwestern states. And then there's nine-man football in Minnesota and the Dakotas. And there's a few other places that play six-man as well. But Indiana's playing eight-man now. And a few 1A schools have dropped down to eight-man. Now, it's not currently an IHSAA sport, but it might be in the near future. And I expect some of the lower 1A teams, especially those that have had a hard time getting enough players, will drop down to eight-man. And probably some schools that have never played football before will pick up eight-man as a way to have some kind of football. But, you know, it'd be interesting if any teams in our neighborhood got an eight-man team. I guess the most likely candidate would be Bethesda Christian. They're the only high school in Hendricks County that does not. They're the only high school in Hendricks County that plays football but not basketball. So they might be a good candidate for it. But, yeah, I'd like to, you know, commentate an eight-man team. An eight-man team, by the way, they generally play on Saturdays rather than Fridays, at least in Indiana, because of the lack of officials available. So, yeah, that'd be fun to, you know, find an eight-man team to commentate on Saturdays. So maybe I can do that for next year. You know, commentate an 11-man team on Friday, an eight-man team on Saturday. There were, I believe, only 10 eight-man teams this year in Indiana, but I imagine, I think there are 26 who are considering it for next season, so that'll be interesting. I've read that, you know, that eight-man football tends to be very high-scoring, like often in the 40s through 60s. So anyway, looks like hardly anybody has left here. So we're getting ready to kick off here.
You know.
And now it's sort of like a mid-level kick, and it goes out of bounds. So 1 second runs up the clock. So it's a song. I don't know. It's Liam's looking it up now on his phone. Liam's a good music connoisseur, more from the new generation, although he's caught up with a lot of my generation as well, and before my generation. In fact, he's become a very big fan of 70s. Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, okay. Thank you, Liam. Also, feel free to check my son Liam's YouTube channel. It's Elevator Dude. He has more than 300 videos of elevators on there. Elevators are his biggest hobby for about 9 years. Is it 9 years? 9 years, okay. More than 400, he says now. So anyway, first and in at the 14th. And I'm not sure what happened there. I think he tripped. All right, so that's a loss. So good start for the Plainfield defense. I think Newell tripped there, so that'll be second at about 15 then. So that's, we've got to get the ball back here with a chance to make it a one possession game. Second and 14 now for the Warriors at their own 10. And now, I believe it was Crowley there. So that'll bring up third and 11. So we got to get him off the field here. No excuses. If we don't get him off the field here, it is a super disaster. So now third and 11 at the 13 for the Warriors. First possession of the third quarter. They lead 21-7. Plainfield's got to get the ball off the field here, make him punt for their own end zone. And now Denham rolls up to his right, and now throws downfield, and it's incomplete. All right. Only the third pass of the game for Denham. It was incomplete. So the Warriors apparently will be punting from their own end zone. So Plainfield should get the ball in their own. They should get the ball in their own territory. They should get the ball in Whiteland territory. So the punter's standing now right at the goal line. And now it looks like it might have been. And it only goes up to the 27. Apparently the wind is really bad in that direction. And his last punt from there went about to the 27 also, and Plainfield converted it into a touchdown. So now Plainfield can make this a one possession game. All right. So if we can get a touchdown here, we'll have the momentum with a 14-0 run. Let's keep the fire going, boys. Two receivers each side, one running back. Hunter Newell in shotgun. They snap. Hessen gets it, and he carries it up for about 4 or 5 yards. Hessen carried a lot in the first quarter. Didn't carry a lot in the second, but now we're getting the ball again there. Plainfield's first offensive play of the second half, picks up four, bringing up second and six at the 23 now. Plainfield trying to make it a one-possession game here. So now we've got Miller and I believe it's Vanderbush out to the left, two receivers to the right. And now Newell's got to get rid of it! Oh, no. squandered opportunity there, and now it's gone from second and six to third and about 16. Yeah. Newell's come a long way this season. I think he's going to have a banner senior season. One thing for him to work on, though, getting rid of the ball. We love you, Hunter. You know, we wouldn't be here without you. We'll be talking about that play for probably 50 years or more, that last week. But now third and 15, now Newell. And throw a sequel to the end zone! And it's incomplete. Fourth down, I guess we'll go for it. So Hunter Newell, 8 for 18 now. I believe it was Grant Irwin was the intended receiver, but anyway, now 4th and 15 at the 32 for the Quakers. Might as well go for it here. So now we've got Vanderbush and I believe it's Hessling to the left. Two receivers to the right, one running back, Newell in shotgun, 4th and 15. And now Newell throws and, incomplete. I'm not sure what there obviously was some kind of miscommunication there. So squandered opportunity for the Quakers. Now the pressure back on the defense. 9:02 to go here in the third quarter. Whiteland 21, Plainfield 7. The Quakers have had opportunities tonight. They would have needed a near-perfect game. But if they capitalized on every opportunity they had, they would be right in the thick of it right now. As it is, we've got 14 still, 21 minutes and 2 seconds to play here. Whiteland takes over at their own 32. And now Peyton Emberton gets about 3. So Emberton's been very quiet tonight. He is the team's leading the rusher on the season with over 1,000 yards and I believe 11 touchdowns here. They give him credit for 2. Yeah, Emberton 11 in rushing touchdowns on the season. So 2nd and 8 at the 34. So now, handoff. Well, we got him. We got him for, so we got another. That was Perkins there. He might have gotten a yard. So it'll be 3rd and long. We got to get him up the field here, boys. Perkins gets 1. I have him 4 for 22. So it's, 3rd and 7 at the 35. Come on, boys. We've got to get him off the field here. Last time on 3rd and long, we did. Last time was 3rd and 11. I don't think we've given up a 3rd down conversion in this game. So now Whiteland with 2 receivers to the right, 2 running backs. Denham under center. And now he takes a snap. We got him. Yes. And he fumbles. He gets on top of it, but it's for a huge loss. All right. So it looks like Whiteland's going to be punting again. All right. So that's a loss of, 10 yards. Good job. Good job, boys. So our defense is holding up against, holding up its end of the bargain. Now the offense is going to have to start doing it. So now a low snap. He does get the punt off, however, and goes inside the 30, and now it goes inside the 20. So that's a punt of, that's really odd that after their last two punts that went about 20 yards each, that one goes 56 or 57. He also had another one of 60 plus in this game early on in the first half. So very erratic punting game for Whiteland tonight. And now Plainfield taking the ball over, first and 10 at their own 18, 6:44 to go, a little over a quarter and a half left to make up two scores. Come on, boys, let's do it. Two receivers to the left, one running back. Under Newell in shotgun, he's had a mixed game tonight. And now he gives him the headset, they're ready for him, and he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage. I think we might need to get a little more adventurous, and they got him for a one-yard loss, 16 for 73 by my count for Noah Hessing tonight, trying to stop this from being the last game of his illustrious high school career. He started for 4 years, 3 years exclusively at wide receiver, this year at wide receiver and running back. He will long be remembered for making that amazing game-winning catch last week that gave us a sectional championship. 19 yards from Hunter Newell. And now Newell gets it again. Hessen gets it again. This time it gets much more, but he's going to be several yards short of the first, so it's going to be about third and five or so for the Quakers. Give him credit for seven, so I have him 17 for 80 now. Very critical third down for the Quakers here. Third and four for Plainfield. Come on, boys. We've got to get this here. And if we don't, we've got to go for it. Or that's how desperate this is. Two receivers to the right now. Hands off. He's got room on the left side. I think he's going to get the first down. He might be a yard short. He has to move around the left. We'll see what kind of spot he gets. All right. He did get it. By the skin of his teeth. Crowd doesn't like the spot. And it certainly was close. So 4:58 to go in the third quarter. Plainfield trailing by 14. First and 10 at their own 28. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. I believe Hessing is still in there at running back. Gives it Hessing again, and he's got some room past the 30. And showing a lot of toughness, gets up to about the 33. So a decent gain by Noah Hessing. 4:35 to go in counting. He gave him credit for five. Hopefully these rushes to Hessing will attract enough defensive attention that we'll find a guy open. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back takes the handoff now, throws down to the right side, and it's overthrown. Or was that a pass interference? I believe they got pass interference against Whiteland. Or maybe it's rushing the passer. No, Newell got, I didn't see it. Apparently Newell was hit. So that'll be, boy, if Newell can't continue this game, I don't know. I honestly don't know who we would put in. Oh my God. So hopefully, and my son just, I don't know what, maybe, yeah, my son's going down. So I think he's trying to get a good look at it. He's like, I see him standing, leaning against the fence there in front of the bleachers. Oh, man. And, you know, the broadcast crew here, I didn't see the hit because I immediately turned to focus on the ball. But apparently, you know, the broadcast crew next to me says they believe it was the right call, that it was a late hit, so I'll take their word for that. Hopefully this is not serious. Newell is getting up now. He looks groggy. He is walking off the field on his own power. Very concerning fight for the Quakers. This will move the ball up to the Whiteland 48, but man, if we don't have Newell, again, Newell's played. Newell's the only quarterback we've had all season on the varsity, so I have no idea who will put in as the backup. So 4:01 to go. Chris Stevens is, oh my God, Chris Stevens. You know, when you're a backup quarterback, you dream of being put in a crucial situation like this and being the hero. Will he be? He gives it to Heslin. He's got some room, and he gets about 6 or 7. So good start to the drive. Heslin gets it up to about the Whiteland 45. What a story this would be if Chris Stevens saved the game for us. All right. Chris Stevens is a wide receiver. He picks up 7. Heslin picks up 7 there. And now Heslin gets it again. And this time I think he's got the first. If not, he's going to be within a yard. Yeah, he did get the first. All right. So good start to the drive. Hunter Newell's back in. We don't know if he's at 100% or not, but we'll see. It's good to see him out there. Thanks to Chris Stevens for filling in. So now we've got Vanderbush, Irwin, and Miller lined up to the left. I believe Heslin is still in there. 3:12 to go and counting in the third quarter. Quakers down by 14. And now Newell takes it. He rushes himself inside the 40, inside the 45. He slides inside the 35. It's going to be close to the first. He got about 8 or 9 there. Newell, good to see him back from that injury. Presumably, we have a much better chance to win with him than without him. So 2:42 to go in counting. Plainfield trying to make it a one-possession game here late in the third quarter. Hunter Newell was out for a couple of plays after a late hit that advanced the ball 15 yards. 2nd and 1 now at the Whiteland 33. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. Newell and shotgun. Come on, boys. Newell gets it. He's got plenty of time through. Deep downfield for the end zone, and it is broken up. That was Moore Smith there who broke it up. It might have been a touchdown otherwise. So 3rd and 1. And I'll tell you, Whiteland might be the best coverage I've seen this year of all our opponents. The best, you know, passing defense. You know, there are passes that Newell's thrown tonight that very well might have been caught against other opponents, but they're covering us so well. So 3rd and 1, we got to get that first down first of all. And they're in a bunch formation now. And now Heslin, direct snap, and he breaks the snap, and he can go all the way. He will, yes. Noah Heslin, 33 yards for the touchdown. We're within one possession. All right. It was 21-0. Now it's 21-14. Still over a quarter to play. A bunch formation, and we took it. All right. The Quakers not laying over and dying. Yes, well, luckily, M. Sandy knows me so well. The Quakers are in business. 22 rushes for 132 yards and 1 touchdown for Noah Heslin. Hopefully not his last high school game. Cameron Grimes in the extra point. It is up and it is good. So we're within 7. All right. So the Quakers, they were down 21-0. Now it's 21-14. There was a 3-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Isaiah Miller with 1:21 to go in the second quarter. Now a 33-yard rush on a direct snap to Noah Heslin with 2:09 to go here in the third quarter. And now, appropriately, they play Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. So I'm a bass guitarist. That's one of my favorite bass riffs of all time. And the keyboards are super awesome also. Yeah, like my son says, I haven't played bass guitar or synthesizer in years, but I did play in years past. So you can check out my music. Just go and type in the Lex Zorn Project. I did an album back in 2007 in the 80s, a melodic hard rock style, like Survivor, Journey, you know, sticks, stuff like that. So, anyway. And one of the guitarists I used on that album, by the way, Tommy Denander, he went on to play for Paul Stanley. Went on to play for Ricky Martin also, which was kind of weird. David Archuleta. He's been around a lot. Big session guy from Sweden. But anyway, back to action here. Plainfield ready to kick off. And now it's fielded down to two. Come on. Come on, hit him. We got him. We stopped him just short of the 25. John Harrell's high school football website, by the way, which I think every member of the high school football media here in Indiana loves. I've been using it for 11 years. I really need to contact Mr. Harrell and thank him profusely for how much easier that site has made my job, as well as Max Prep, which is a national high school sports site. But anyway, his site predicted a 38-14 win for Whiteland today. But, you know, maybe they'll be a little off. So anyway, Whiteland with the ball now, taking over at the 24, screen pass. And now he gets a first down up to about the 38. I believe that was Moore Smith there. And I'm not even sure, actually, that was and it was a 14-yard gain there. Oh, that's Perkins, excuse me. It's Perkins, sorry about that. I'm not even sure that was a pass. It might have been behind, but anyway, now Moore Smith there, and he goes around the right side, and he gets across the 50, and he's knocked out of bounds. I think they're marking about at the 45 of Plainfield. So, we got a flag, however. Hopefully this one is coming back. No. I didn't see the flag. I heard somebody say the flag. So, yeah, basically two plays in a row now that moved the ball up. Four games of 14 and 18. One by Perkins, one by Moore Smith. On pitchbacks, or like side armors or what, oh yeah. Amberton now, he's had a quiet game. He only picked up about three there. But yeah, two plays ago, Denham pitched over to his right to Perkins for 14. Then the next play went to his right for Moore Smith for 18. Now Amberton for three on that last one. So second and seven for the Warriors, trying to, and now Valentine, they're right on top of him. He only gets about one or two. So it's going to be a very big third down for the Quakers defense, although I'd imagine that Whiteland would go for it on them. They give Valentine 3 yards. I didn't think he got quite that many, but nevertheless, Plainfield still on third down. Try to get him off the field, boys. Third and four. 24 seconds to go in the third quarter. Some movement on the line, but no flag. And now they give it to Valentine, and he gets the first and maybe one or two more. So that's about 6 yards for Valentine, and that will likely take us to the fourth quarter here. 14 seconds left, and yeah. So your Plainfield Quakers, trailing by 7 going into the fourth quarter here in the regional, 12 minutes to save the season and move Coach Woodard, at least keep his career going one more game. We'll be back with the thrilling conclusion here on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to thank them and encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Goodell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Hope, African Plum Home, MyIT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Towing. Well, back here at Whiteland, we're about to start what we hope will not be the last quarter of Brian Woodard's illustrious head coaching career. Plainfield was originally down 21-0. Now they've cut it to 21-14. However, Whiteland has the ball first and 10 at the Plainfield 33. They're playing Don't Stop Believing by Journey, and indeed, we must not stop believing in our Quakers right now. They looked like they were over last week. They came back and made an extraordinary comeback on one of the greatest plays in school history. Now they went from 21-0 to 21-14. Oh, but now they score a touchdown. Nereus Moore-Smith takes it in 33 yards for the touchdown to start off the quarter. So now we're back in a two-possession hole. We're not out of it, but, you know, we've got to get something going quickly. On our last possession, a direct snap to Noah Heflin. He took it in 33 yards, but now to Whiteland's credit, they go 33 yards of their own. Nereus Moore-Smith, first name NYRIUS, David Mathis is good on the extra point. So, no problem. So, all right, so Whiteland will kick off with a 28-14 lead. 11:52 to go in the game. We've got to get this going. We've got to get something going. You know, with the Blues Brothers, you know, when they start playing Give Me Some Lovin' at Bob's Country Bunker, and Bob, the owner of the place, says, "I ain't no Hank Williams song." Elwood says, "We got to think of something these people like and fast." Well, right now, Plainfield's got to think of something that works and fast, because they're down by 14 points, 11:52 to go to save the season and win this regional and keep Coach Brian Woodard as head coach for at least one more week to get to the semi-state next week. Speaking of which, last I heard, Bloomington South and Castle tied at 14 at the half. We get the winner next week. Deep kick now, taken right around the 5 up to the 10, 15, 20, 20. And he's got some room on the left side. And he goes out about to the 30. That was Troy Larrison, obviously trying to take it in all the way. Larrison has not rushed much the last couple of weeks, but he's still, because of his speed, very useful on kickoff returns. So the Quakers taking over about the 30. And now it looks like we got an injury. So, Plainfield will take over at the 25. There is an injured warrior down. Hopefully it's not serious. He's being attended to. I cannot tell who it is from my vantage point. It's right at the other side of the field. Now he does get up, and now he's now going off the field on his own power. I believe that is number 7. That's Caden Davidson. He is a junior for the Warriors. So now he's trotting off the field on his own power. I think he'll be okay. So Plainfield down by 14, 11:47 to go. Two receivers, each side, one running back, Hunter Newell, and shotgun. Come on, boys. Takes the snap, throws up the middle, and it is nearly intercepted, and then nearly caught on a tip, falls to the ground, incomplete. Hunter Newell Hunter Newell struggling tonight, only 8 for 21 by my count. Only 44 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Only 2 non-Hail Mary interceptions since week 3. Oh, we got a penalty. We got a penalty against Plainfield, but it's declined. Ineligible receiver. You know, I wonder. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Second and 10 now for the Quakers at their own 25. And now it fakes the handoff. And now it's complete to Vanderbush, but he's caught. He catches it behind the line of scrimmage, and he's brought down for a loss. So it's third and long for the Quakers, 11:25 to go. They're going to have to. And that, by the way, of Newell's 9 completions today, 3 of them have been for negative yards, including both to Vanderbush. That one for minus 1. So Vanderbush has 2 receptions, but for minus 3 yards. Third and 11 at the 24. He's got to get something big here. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, 1 running back. Newell takes the snap. Says the pass, and it's intercepted, and it could be returned for the touchdown. It is. It is. Oh, no. Oh, no. We got desperate. We got desperate. And now we go down by 3 possessions again. 10:48 to go. Hunter Newell is 3rd interception of the game. So Whiteland, you know, and now the extra point by Mathis is up, and it is good. Oh, by the way, that was Nyrus Moore Smith there on the interception, so that's pretty impressive, scoring 1:04 apart on both offense and defense. So now, yeah, Plainfield enters this quarter trailing only by 7, but now just in 1:12, it's down to 21. So now the Quakers, not out of it, but almost all the only thing that can save them now is an 8-plus game, no mistakes, and probably some, you know, errors by the Warriors. They made a couple in the early going, but they've gotten on track since then. Come on, boys. Go for broke here. 8:58 your time of day here in Whiteland. Coming to you about 10 miles south of Indianapolis. And now it's a semi-onside kick. Oh, my God, we got to get it. I think we got it, but, man, that was close. Boy, Whiteland really going in for the kill here. So Plainfield taking over an offense, 10:46 to go. Hopefully Hunter Newell's confidence is not shaken. Hunter Smith, goes back to my first year commentating Plainfield back in 2012. And the first game I ever commentated of Plainfield back on September 22nd, 2012, he made the game-winning interception as Plainfield got what would be its last win over Decatur Central until this year when we got 2 of them. And now over the middle, and it is it's incomplete. So 9 for 24 on this game. and I think Hunter Newell, quite frankly, and he's a great young competitor. He's, I think, going to be a very good college player. I think he's going to have a big senior season with us next year, but he looks like he's just overwhelmed by this passing defense. I think it's just, you know, this is tougher than what he's accustomed to, and I think he's having a hard time adjusting to it. So this is a loss, you know, if this is a loss, it's a loss that he'll take with him for the offseason and use to make him better to come back and really knock him dead next year as a senior. So now Newell takes it, rolls to his left, throws downfield, and that could have been intercepted again, but it was it was nevertheless broken up. So Newell now 9 for 25 tonight. You know, keep in mind, he came into this game 60.8%. Grant Irwin, the hero of the last two, definitely the hero at Harrison and one of the heroes last week. Got the three interceptions at Harrison 2 weeks ago. The interception returned for the touchdown last week. Now, however, tonight, only two receptions for 2 yards. We got to get something big out of him. So now Newell drops back, throws up the middle, and it is caught, but it's only going to be for about 4 or 5 yards. It's going to bring a fourth down. And that was Irwin there. And he does get six, but we need a lot more than that. Vikers look like they're going for it on 4th and 4 here, 10:08 to go, trailing by 21. Two receivers deep side. Nothing to lose here. Takes it. Newell goes back. I think he's got the first. I think he got it by about a yard. He got it. Yeah, so a big fourth down conversion by the Quakers. I think he picked up 5 there. Yeah, they blitzed him, but he got between them and had some open space. That's about a 5-yard run there by Hunter Newell. So first and 10 at their own 45 for the Quakers now. Newell rolls right first and nearly intercepted again. But it falls to the ground incomplete. That was Jackery Oliver, Jakarrey, the first name that is a new one to me. Newell now 10 for 27 by my count. Second and 10 now for the Quakers, 9:26 to go in the game. Got to make up three touchdowns here. So Cathedral leading Brownsburg 14-7. So now Plainfield now throws up the middle, and it's caught for about 6 or 7. It'll bring up 3rd and short. That was Noah Hessling there with his first reception of the game. Made maybe the most famous interception in school history last week. Hopefully he'll get some more tonight. So third and three now for the Quakers in Whiteland territory at the 48. Two receivers each side, 8:48 to go to counting. Plainfield down by 21. And now he throws deep down the left side, but it's overthrown. And I assume they're going to go for it here. They went for it on 4th and 4 earlier in this possession and made it. Yeah, Newell was just off. And I think maybe he's just hurrying a little too much because I think that the speed of this passing defense for Whiteland is just throwing Newell off. And it's taking him out of his game. But he'll learn from this. It's okay. He's come a long way this season. You know, we were expecting that he and Carson Melvin were going to be splitting the quarterback duties again this year. He ended up having to take it all by himself, and he's done a progressively good job with it. And now we've got a snap here, and we got a flag here. And Bob Plainfield took a timeout there first. So at that, let me take a quick soda chug here. I have not had anything to drink since the game started. And now the fans here at Whiteland, by the way, starting to really get into it, sensing that they are about to win their first regional, their second regional ever. Their first was in 1999. They won another one in 2000. Then head coach Darren Fisher took over in 2005, and he's won four sectionals in they won a regional in 2000, a regional in 99, sectional in 2000, and then Darren Fisher's won sectionals in 2016, 2013, 2014, and 2020, but Darren Fisher has never won a regional. Maybe this is it, but maybe, you know, Coach Woodard will pull out a miracle. We'll see. So fourth and three for the Quakers, trying to convert a fourth down for the second time on this drive. Throws up the middle, and he's got it, and it's dropped. He had his hands on it. I think it was Miller who has five receptions tonight, but he just didn't get the grip on it. So Whiteland takes over, 8:35 to go, firmly in control of this game. Hunter Newell completed only 11 of 30 passes so far. So now I would imagine Whiteland would just really put this game into deep freeze right now. So now Denham rolls back, and he throws deep down the left side, and it is caught inside the 35. He does take it up to about the 25. So Hicks, who had the 27-yard touchdown pass earlier, now takes gets another 27-yard reception. This one not for a score, but and ironically, those were the only two possessions of Denham in this game. So now, and now hands off to Emberton, who finally gets his first breakthrough of the game, and he gets he's pushed by some of his fellow offensive men, and he gets up for more than 10 yards. So now it looks like Plainfield's finally run out of gas here. Whiteland threatening to take a four-possession lead here in the last 8 minutes. So now it looks like this will be Coach Woodard's last game. A 13-yard rush there by Emberton. And now a handoff again, and this time to Valentine, but they're right on top of him. He doesn't get much. So that'll be second and long for the Warriors. Oh, yeah, they gave him five. It didn't look like he got that much to me, but anyway. So second and five at the six for Whiteland. Trying to, you know, finish this one off here. They lead by 21 here. Hopefully the Quakers will get a stop, but we'll see. 6:50 to go now. Whiteland 35, Plainfield 14. And a pitch back, and Valentine, and he's got it for the touchdown. So Slate Valentine, one of the three super sophomores, one of the three sophomore running backs, who are providing a very bright piece for this program, along with Malik Perkins and Darius Ford-Smith. Well, it's hard to believe that at the start of this quarter, we were down by 7. Now we're down by 27 with the conversion pending. Just been a collapse here in the third quarter for the Quakers, and the extra point is up, and it is good. David Mathis now 54 for 56 on the season. Well, I just, you know, hope we'll go out on a positive note here. You know, I do, before I go, before I say anything else, I do give, I try to always give credit where it's due. I give Whiteland all the credit tonight. Darren Fisher, you know, is the dean of coaches here in the Mid-State Conference. You know, when you mention the top coaches in the state, he's usually not one of the first two or three mentioned. But, you know, this year, you know, I mean, he's been so close so many times to that breakthrough, and maybe this will be it. This will be his first regional championship, only the second in school history, the other time being in 99. And, you know, with the win next, and Whiteland will be favored next week, whether they play Castle or Bloomington South. If Whiteland wins today, they will be on the road next week, no matter what. Had Plainfield won today and Castle won, then Castle would have visited Plainfield. And now Plainfield bobbles the snap, but he's got some room over here. And now he's brought down, however, right around the 20, or the 15, excuse me. Well, anyway, yeah, Whiteland will be favored next week, whether they play Bloomington South or Castle. And, you know, I'm not the type of guy who likes to, you know, see our rivals, our conference rivals lose, you know, when they're not playing us. I'm going to be cheering for Whiteland next week. I'd like to see him win the state championship. You know, like I was, you know, I cheered for Decatur Central the year they made it to the state championship game in Class 5A. And now Noah Hessen gets another carry, gets to maybe three. Decatur Central made it to the Class 5A state championship game in 2018, lost to New Palestine. 28-14, Greenwood got to the semi-state in 2017. I was glad to see him do that. Hessen, by the way, only got one there. So now second down, nine, and then now a bullet pass, and he hit him right in the chest, but he dropped it. And, you know, it's not just Hunter Newell, but a lot of our guys just aren't making the grabs tonight. And I think part of it could be is that this is the most aggressive passing defense we've seen all season, and I think that they just our guys are just trying to hurry because they're afraid of the ball getting intercepted or afraid of getting hit or whatever, and maybe they're just not taking the time to do the grip properly. So it's, it's not just Hunter. I mean, it's the receivers, too, are really just having a hard time tonight. And now I saw there's some movement for the play. And now Newell, he picks it up, though, after he dropped the snap, and he might have the first down. Let's see where they mark him. Newell's sixth carry of the game. Newell dropped the snap, but then he picked up, I was looking at the wrong yard marker. He only got three subs, fourth and sixth, and it looks like they're going to punt. I'd go for it here personally, but oh well. 5:47 to go. And by the way, if this is not of much consequence at this point, as the punt gets off, and it bounces at the 40, 45, and then starts rolling back, and it's down at the 44. And if Whiteland, I don't know if Whiteland will attempt to score or not, but if they get seven more points, then we'll go for a running clock, which at that point would not be much time left. Well, you know, it's a sad moment, but, you know, as we enter the last 5:37 of the Brian Woodard era, you know, we also look forward to the Tyler Pless era. And I think the best days of this program are still to come. And Coach Woodard is, you know, And now Valentine picks it up for about 8. Fresh off that touchdown. And, you know, this is not as extreme as what happened in our playoff loss to Cathedral last year. But when you're playing a team that, you know, .503 to go now, 2nd and 3 for the Warriors, up to that 7 yards there by Valentine. But anyway, and now they give it to Oliver. So Jackery Oliver there picks up about 3 or 4. But anyway, what I was going to say, though, I think sometimes when you play a team that's just far more talented than what you're accustomed to, and things that, plays that work against most opponents don't work against your current opponent, you get frustrated. I think that happened to us definitely in that Cathedral game last year, and it's happening to us to a lesser extent tonight. And I'll tell you, if I go back and revisit that, listen to that Whiteland game from earlier this season, I'd feel differently. You know, I don't remember Whiteland's passing offense being this good, this aggressive last time. You know, maybe they've been studying our game tape for the, maybe they studied the game tape of our two playoff wins and adjusted accordingly. And if so, then that's a tribute to what a great coach, Darren Fisher is. And Whiteland truly has earned this, regional championship. So 2nd and 9, and now there's Austin Steele there on the carry. So now a lot of different Warriors getting into the action here. 3:20 to go and counting. It doesn't look like they're going to go to any great lengths to score here. So, anyway, for those of you just joining us, Plainfield's about to end the season. They trail 42-14 here in the regional against Whiteland. Under 3 minutes to go now. So the clock's ticking now. The final seconds ticking out on Coach Woodard's career. What a great career it's been. We are, and now possible at touchdown. He gets inside the 10. That was Keegan Grandinetti. His first carry was for 1, but that goes for, 24 there. Keegan Grandinetti is a senior. So they give credit for, 23, I think 23 there. And now they give it to Oliver. So it looks like they are going to try to get one more score here. They give it to Oliver there. He gets maybe a couple. 1:55 to go. So far, they got for a gain of 1 there. After the game, I will be talking a little bit about my memories of Coach Woodard, but I'm not going to have enough time to say everything I want to, so I am going to be making a video tribute in the next few weeks that I will be posting, and I'll ask everybody, you know, all Plainfield social media sites to promote it, because I want, you know, all Plainfield fans to see it. And now, we got a touchdown here. So that was Oliver. So Jackery Oliver. So now the clock stops with 1:16. 1:16 to go. And it doesn't mean much now, but if they do hit this The crowd was chanting something. I couldn't figure it out. Well, it's not much. It doesn't mean much now. It's only 1:16 to go. But if they do hit the 6 points, then it'll be a 35-point game, and therefore we'll go to the running clock. And there it is. Well, you wouldn't believe it if you heard the score, but this was a one-possession game at the start of this quarter. It was 21-14 before Whiteland exploded for 4 touchdowns here in the fourth quarter. And now Castle leading Bloomington South 21-14. So anyway, this will be, because Whiteland will be on the road next week, regardless of who their opponent is, certainly they hope it's Bloomington South for logistical reasons, although probably Castle is the weaker team. Bloomington South, I believe, is ranked third in the class, Castle 13th. But this, regardless, is Whiteland's last home game of the season. These Whiteland fans are hoping they'll be at Lucas Oil Stadium in 2 weeks as Whiteland plays for their first state championship. So 49-14, your score. Plainfield will get at least one more chance on offense here in the Coach Woodard era. A squib. And now it's returned up to about the 35. And we have a running clock, so anyway, and now the crowd going crazy here, and they've earned this, you know, they've been waiting a long time for this. It's only once before has Whiteland, you know, been this far. That was in 1999. Have they won a regional? They've been knocking on the door of, you know, going from being a very good program to an elite program for a long time now. Maybe this will be the year that puts them over the top. 32 seconds to go and counting now because of the running clock. Noah Hessing gets one last play for about 5 yards, and that will likely be the last play of the game. So, the Quakers do a lot of good things today, but they collapse in the end, and they lose the regional to Whiteland 49-14. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to next season, as well as a look back at the great career of Brian Woodard after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers Football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by the generous support of our sponsors. We would like to thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyIT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland for a final time tonight, and sadly, a final time this season, and even more sadly, the final time ever in the head coaching career of Brian Woodard, where your Plainfield Quakers have lost to the where your Plainfield Quakers have lost to the Whiteland Warriors by a score of 49-14. It was an up-and-down game in which the Quakers, both teams started sloppy. Plainfield got the ball first. Hunter Newell threw an interception on the first possession. However, Whiteland lost a fumble on their first offensive play. And then after another Whiteland punt, Plainfield got down into the red zone, got in fact all the way up to the Whiteland 14 late in the first quarter, and then on fourth and one they lost a fumble. So in the first 9 minutes of the game, we did a great job with the ball control. Whiteland's first possession, you know, they lost the fumble on the first play. In the second possession, they were 3 and out. However, on their third possession, they took over at the Plainfield 27 after a weak punt into the wind. And then on the first play of the ensuing possession with 2:19 to go in the quarter, Kyle Denham threw 27 yards to Gunnar Hicks for the touchdown. And however, the extra point, the snap was no good, and the run failed, so the score was 6-0. Then then early in the second quarter, with 11:50 to go, Jonathan Crowley got a 56-yard touchdown rush, and then Peyton Emberton rushed for a 2-point conversion to make up for the missed conversion on the first touchdown, making the score 14-0. Then with 7:23 to go in the second quarter, Kyle Denham on an odd-looking 6-yard quarterback sneak scored a touchdown, making the score 21-0. And at that point, things looked bleak for the Quakers, but believe it or not, they actually came back to get into the game. With 1:21 to go in the quarter, Hunter Newell threw 3 yards to Isaiah Miller for a touchdown. 4:21 to go in the second quarter. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it a 21-7. And then with 2:09 to go in the third quarter, Noah Hessling on a direct snap in a bunch formation took it in 33 yards for a touchdown. And all of a sudden it was 21-14, which took us into the fourth quarter. But then things suddenly fell apart. On the first play of the quarter, for Whiteland, Nereus Moore-Smith took it in 33 yards for a touchdown, which is ironic because we had just scored on a 33-yard touchdown by Hessling, and then they countered with a 33-yard touchdown by Nereus Moore-Smith. With 11:52 to go in the fourth quarter, that made it 28-14 with the extra point. And then on Plainfield's ensuing possession, Moore-Smith intercepted a pass and took it all the way in for a touchdown, making it 35-14. So Nereus Moore-Smith scored 2 touchdowns. One on offense, one in defense, 1 minute and 4 seconds apart. Then with 6:39 to go in the fourth quarter, Slate Valentine, one of the three big sophomores for the Warriors, took it in 6 yards to make it 42-14 with the extra point. And finally, with 1:16 to go, Jackery Oliver took it in 6 yards for a touchdown, making it 49-14 with the extra point, and the 35-point margin ended the game with a running clock, so Plainfield only got one play on the ensuing drive. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell completed only 11 of 31 passes for only 55 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. Clearly, his worst game of the season. I'll talk more about his performance later on. It wasn't entirely his fault. It was a combination of things. But anyway, on receiving, unfortunately, not much to report. Isaiah Miller did have 5 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown. He was the bright spot among the receiver. Grant Irwin did get 3 receptions, but for only 8 yards. Kyle Vanderbush had 2 for -3. Noah Hessling had 1 for 7. On the ground, Noah Hessling had 24 rushes for 138 yards and a touchdown. Hunter Newell, 6 for 3. Meanwhile, for Whiteland, Kevin Denham completed only, he only threw 4 passes, but he completed 2 of them for 55 yards and a touchdown. Gunnar Hicks had both of those receptions, obviously for 55 yards and a touchdown. On the ground, it was actually very spread out. We had Jonathan Crowley with five rushes for 77 yards and a touchdown. Slate Valentine, 8 for 37 and a touchdown. Malik Perkins, 5 for 36. Peyton Emberton, 6 for 24. Nerius Moore-Smith, 3 for 56 and a touchdown. Keegan Grandinetti, 2 for 24. Jackery Oliver, 3 for 10 and a touchdown. And Austin Steele, 1 for minus 1. So in conclusion, this is a game in which Plainfield clearly, you know, I think my hope coming into tonight was that, keep in mind that Whiteland beat us 45-14 5 weeks ago on our senior day. And what I was hoping is that they would come in with the exact same game plan, and we would study the tape of that game and come up with a different game plan that would contain their rushing a lot better than we did 5 weeks ago. And we did that. You know, they rushed well against us, but they didn't go as crazy as they did against us last time. But they apparently, you know, studied our some of our game tape, too, and they came up with an outstanding plan to contain our passing offense. And we clearly were unprepared for it. I think, you know, we were unprepared for their aggressiveness and their athleticism. And, there were plays, there were passes that Newell was throwing that would have been good for touchdowns or at least big gains against probably, you know, any of our other opponents this year, but Whiteland shut them down. They broke them up, or they forced, you know, rushed passes. And our guys, I think, and our guys were dropping a lot of passes, too, and I think it was because they were just hurrying and not taking the time to get the grip because they were afraid about a guy being in their face or tipping it away. So, you know, that's the Whiteland's credit. They did an outstanding game, and they only were called for, I think, 3 or 4 penalties. I mean, so they played a very disciplined game, and they came in clearly, you know, ready to stop us. And that's what great teams do. And Whiteland is a great team with a great coach. Derek Fisher has been on the brink of this for a long time. And tonight, in his 18th season, he's the dean of Mid-State Conference coaches, having come in a year before Brian Woodard at Plainfield and Mike Campbell at Greenwood. And both Woodard and Campbell in their farewell seasons this year. Fisher deserves this. He's won 4 previous sectionals, never won a regional, finally did tonight. He deserved it. And I'm going to be cheering for them to get the 5A state championship. Plainfield, you know, had they not thrown those interceptions and, you know, had we not lost that fumble when we had it down there and deep in their territory at the 14 on 4th and 1, we might have been neck and neck and not, you know, really not gotten so desperate and made so many plays, so many high-risk plays that didn't work out, including that interception return for the touchdown by Nerius Moore-Smith when we were down by 14. You know, had we not been in the position where we had to take so many crazy chances like that, we might have been right there, you know, with a chance to win it in the fourth quarter. Keep in mind, we were at the start of the quarter, we were only down by 7, where if we held them on defense, we were going to get the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. But, you know, once they got that 2-possession lead there in the fourth quarter, we seemed to panic and just come apart and just everything just came apart at the seams. You know, I think that Hunter just felt like he had to just make up the 14 points right away when he threw that pass that ended up being returned for the touchdown. So anyway, so Plainfield ends the season at 6-6. Only the second time they've ever played in the regional. First time was it was 22 years ago and back in the year 2000 when Coach Brian Woodard was a 26-year-old assistant. Now he's a 48-year-old head coach who's ready to turn the program over to 31 or 32-year-old Tyler Pless, who I think is going to be a long-term great coach for us. And take the foundation that Coach Woodard built and you know, build on it. But, you know, this was a season, you know, this is my 11th season covering Quakers football. I would say that the 2016 was the best team that I commentated. Now, I know that some of our Coach Woodard's earlier teams, but his first four teams from 06 to 09 all made it to the sectional championship game, and the first one was undefeated in the regular season. And some of his later teams, you know, back, I think a lot of it was that, you know, some of the other teams, some of the other communities that served the Mid-State Conference schools were growing in population, playing field wasn't growing as much. And I think so that put us at a disadvantage, but we still remain very competitive. Coach Woodard, you know, won at least four games in the last 11 years, every year. One of only a handful of programs in the country to do, in the state to do that. Ben Davis hasn't even done that. Ben Davis had a 3-win season in there. Avon has failed to do that the last 2 years. So the team's still been very consistent. And I think the best team I ever commentated from Plainfield was the 2016 team with Vince Layton as the super sophomore quarterback and Dante Keys and, Gavin Ritter as the star wide receivers. And they should have won the sectional last year. They lost in a heartbreaker to Zionsville 33-28. We had it down at the 12 on the last play, and then a pass into the end zone was incomplete. And we left 10 points on the field in that game. But, you know, and that team, by the way, almost beat Avon. We played Avon 4 years in a row from 2015 to 2018. We had only one close game. It was that year. They only beat us 35-31. And that was, you know, when they were, Avon was, you know, in the real power days of the Mark Bliss era. So, you know, I still remember, you know, my boss and frequent broadcasting partner, Rob Kindle, sent me a copy of the Indianapolis Star Area a few months ago announcing that this was going to be Coach Woodard's farewell season. I was surprised because of his age, but, you know, he's been with this program 26 years, more than half of his life. He's 48 years old. And, you know, again, he says he's not retiring. He's open to being an assistant coach for a small college. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up coaching his son, Blake, out at DePauw in Greencastle for the next 3 years. Blake, now a freshman there for the Tigers. But, you know, I don't have time in this post-game show, even with the super long post-game shows that I do. I don't have time to say everything I want to say about Coach Woodard. I'm going to make a video and post it on my YouTube channel and my Rumble channel. A tribute to Coach Woodard where I tell you my memories of him over the last 11 years. And, you know, there are dozens of them I want to share. It's been a great ride, you know, commentating his teams for these last 11 years. And obviously knowing that he was around with the program as the head coach for 6 years before that, and then 9 years before that as an assistant coach. So it's just been a great, tremendous honor commentating him, and, you know, hard to believe that now I've been commentating these games for a fifth of my life. And I hope that Plainfield will still continue to entrust Audio Sports Online to do its broadcasts. As long as you all keep inviting us out there, I'll be there every week, home and away. Like I always say, I'm a commentator first. I'm a fan first, commentator second. I know I can't break down a game like John Madden can, but nobody loves Indiana high school football more than I do, and I hope that comes through. And I hope that makes up for whatever deficiencies I have. And I hope I do these exciting games justice, bringing them to you. And I've come to love this program like my own through the years. You know, Madison is my alma mater, Madison Consolidated High School in Madison, Indiana. But, you know, I consider myself a Quaker also. I'm a Cub and a Quaker. And that will never change, you know, over the years. And so I hope to, I hope to keep back. I hope to come back and continue commentating with you all as long as I'm able, as long as I'm living and as long as I'm able to see and talk and think. I will do my best. And so anyway, I leave behind, you know, so many great memories in the Coach Woodard era. I hope to be around to start off the Coach Bless era, you know, for a long time, you know, after the, some of the top season losses, and there were so many. And, you know, Coach Woodard, if he played in an average sectional every year, he would probably have 5, 6, 7, 8 sectional championships and probably some of the regional championships and maybe beyond as well. As it was in his 17 seasons in the playoffs, he lost 4 times to Cathedral, 4 times to Ron Colley. You know, Cathedral, I think, a 14-time state champion, Ron Colley, 9-time state champion, then Decatur Central, 3-point top 5 team in Class 5A. So that's, you know, 4 playoff losses to each of those 3 teams. That's 12 of 17 years. And then he had the 2 losses to Zionsville, a 2-time state champion, 1 to Westfield, a 1-time state champion, and then 1 to Lebanon, and then finally to Whiteland tonight, who very well might win the Class 5A state championship. Who very well might win the Class 5A state championship this year, and I hope they do. You know, he had a lot of bad luck, and that's why even though this was not one of his best teams, it was poetic justice that not only did he win that sectional championship, but that he won it the way that he did on a play that most coaches only dream of. You know, to come from behind in the final seconds on a dramatic, heart-stopping play like that. That's something that, you know, even though we lost tonight, we're going to remember that play. People are going to be talking about that play 50 years or more from now, and I hope somebody got some video of it. At least we got the video, at least we got the audio of Rob and me going super crazy, and me being super incoherent. that's something I'm going to love playing to my grandkids someday. So, you know, this is a season, that we had some injuries, started off 0-3, our first 0-3 start since 1996, but then twice this year we had pregame winning streaks, which were our first since 2015. And then the last 3 games before tonight, it might be, and I'm going to have to check with the Plainfield Record Department on this, but it might be the first time that Plainfield won 3 consecutive games after trailing in the fourth quarter, and 2 of them we trailed by 10 points, the other by 7. And 2 of them were in the playoffs, you know, so that was a heck of an accomplishment. And keep in mind, we were planning on having Carson Melvin back as our starting quarterback this year. He transferred to Westfield. So we threw Hunter Newell into the fire. He responded about as well as he reasonably could have. He got through a rough start, only 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the first 3 games. But then in the next 8 games, he really turned it around with 13 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, both on Hail Marys. He did not have a good game tonight, but, you know, he'll learn from this kind of passing defense. Going against this kind of passing defense is what's going to make you better. So Hunter Newell is going to work all off season to shake this off and, you know, get better. So, you know, a year from now, this might be the game that he looks back at and thinks it turned, and, you know, a year from now, Hunter Newell might look back at this game and feel like it turned him from being a good quarterback into a great quarterback. And a great quarterback is what we'll need for his senior season a year from now, especially because we lose our top 2 receivers in Grant Irwin and Noah Hessung, both of whom, you know, I'm sure will go on to college ball. I know Grant Irwin, his dad told me last week he's had offers from Taylor and Manchester. I'm sure after how he did in the playoffs with the 3 touchdowns against Harrison receiving and then the interception touchdown last week in the sectional championship win, I'm sure he's going to get a lot of offers pouring in, and, you know, he's a great young man from a great family, and I'm going to be watching him as he goes on to college. We also lose Chris Stevens, who did a lot of good things in spots this year. Played quarterback for us a little tonight when Hunter was injured briefly. We lose Troy Larrison, a kick returner, and this year our running back. He didn't play much running back toward the end. He's a guy I wish had chosen football all along because he had the tools. I think he would have been a top-flight running back. But for a guy coming in, you know, having never played varsity football before, he did play JV 2 years ago. But to make his varsity debut after being primarily a track and field athlete, to be thrown into the fire as a senior, he did very well. He got two touchdowns for us this year, one rushing and one receiving. And so next year, you know, we're going to have Hunter Newell back to be a senior. Isaiah Miller's going to be our top returning receiver. And I think he's going to do a lot of great things for us. I think Caden Vanderbush as a senior is going to do a lot of great things. I think he would have done a lot this year, but there just weren't a lot of passes to be thrown to him with the three seniors. Nevertheless, you know, he did get 25 receptions and a touchdown. So, you know, running back is going to be the big question mark. Coach Woodard was so good at finding running backs. In fact, after Juan Diego III graduated, I wasn't sure who was going to fill in the gap. He moved Noah Hessing to running back part-time. Hessing did a good job, right? And Corey Larson, who did a good job as well. And Antonio Williams also, you know, quietly had some good backup minutes at running back. I don't know if Tyler Bless is going to I don't know if Tyler Bless is going to be a great running back developer like Coach Woodard is, but, you know, based on the pedigree he comes from with his dad, Tim, at Columbus North, and his uncle, Mark, at Avon, I think Tyler's going to do just fine for us. And so there's going to be a lot of people competing to get the carries at running back next year. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Tyler Bruce does. And, you know, he's about the age that Coach Woodard was when he took over back in 2006. And, you know, he has deep roots in this area, and I think this is going to be a career job for him. I don't think he's the type of guy who's just going to look at Plainfield as a stepping stone. So Coach Woodard was here for 17 years. Hopefully Coach Bless will be here at least that long and, you know, give the program that kind of stability. And I think it was so good that we brought him in as a head coach just for a year, so the acclimation process will be a little easier. So anyway, so Plainfield ends the season at 6-6. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. It was an emotional roller coaster. But, you know, we're proud of these kids. They, you know, they had some, you know, hard times, but they always bounced back and found a way to win. And they did it when it counted most. After the 0-3 start, they bounced back, winning 6 of 8, including, like I said, three of them, you know, coming back from a deficit in the fourth quarter, including 2 by 10 points. And two of those three fourth quarter comebacks to the playoffs. And then, of course, that amazing 19-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Duell to Noah Hessing with 1.3 seconds left. So, so, gosh darn it, this is the day I dread every year when I don't get to commentate any more football for another 8 or 9 or 10 months. But, you know, it's so sweet every August when I get to the stadium and I feel that awesome feeling of walking up the metal bleachers toward the press box, knowing that the Friday Night Lights are back. So, just gotta wait patiently, and I don't know who will be back commentating with next year. I sure hope it's you guys. You guys are my, you know, first option. If you all offered me a lifetime contract to cover Quakers football, I'd sign it right here on the spot, no questions asked. So, hopefully I'll be back covering the Quakers, but whatever it is, you know, I this is what I do. This is who I am. So I'll be somewhere into the Friday nights next year. And it's just been an amazing ride these last 11 years at Plainfield. I hope there's a lot more to come, but what a ride it's been. And I will keep these memories with me, you know, for the rest of my life and just treasure them. You know, my son is obsessed with elevators. I'm obsessed with, you know, watching Indiana high school football and talking about it. And Plainfield has just been a wonderful home for me. So thank you all for having me, and hope to keep coming back to come to commentate the Quakers. But I'm thankful for all these opportunities for the last 11 years, no matter what. So anyway, Plainfield closes the season at 6-6, and Whiteland advances to 11-1. They got a much-deserved regional championship tonight. You know, sometimes it's hard to congratulate the opponent, but I try to be a good person, and part of being a good person is always doing what you should do, even when it's hard to do. And sometimes you don't feel like congratulating the team that beat you, but I do congratulate Whiteland. It was a well-earned victory. They deserved it, and I will be cheering them on next week in the semi-state against Bloomington Southern Castle. And if they win, I'll be cheering them on in the state championship game on Thanksgiving weekend, 2 weeks from now at Lucas Oil Stadium. And, but, you know, besides that, most of all, I commentate Coach Brian Woodard on a great 17 years. He did a lot, fell just short of 100 wins, got 98, and an average of exactly 7 a year, which is still an outstanding number for a 5A team in Indiana. He won a sectional, but he got to 7 sectional championship games. And, you know, he put up with a lot of adversity. He had a lot of injuries. Twice he had what looked like it was going to be a marquee freshman quarterback for 4 years. And, you know, the quarterback ended up leaving early. First with Ben Slayton, then Carson Melvin. But Coach Woodard endured, and he still got the sectional championship this year. And I just wish him and, you know, his wife and his kids nothing but the best moving forward. And, you know, I'll be posting that tribute to him, you know, hopefully in the next week or so. I'll post it. I'll advertise it a lot on social media to just, you know, say my, you know, final tribute to him. Which, I mean, he's a young guy, only 48. He's got a lot of life left in him. But, I mean, as far as, you know, my final tribute to his playing field days. So anyway, thank you, Coach Woodard. We love you. And when we have even greater heights in the future, it will be because of the foundation that you laid for us. You will be a part of it. And just as you know, so many of the great players we had in the past were part of last week's sectional championship. So, once again, your final score here tonight at Whiteland in the regional, Whiteland 49. Plainfield 14, though, you know, it was closer than the score indicated. It was 21-14 to start the fourth quarter. The Quakers in the season at 6-6, but coming off only the second sectional championship in school history. And we gave Coach Brian Woodard a great farewell present with that sectional championship here in his 17th and final season as head coach in his 26th and final season with the program. Whiteland, meanwhile, advances to 11-1 and moves on to the semi-state next week against Castle or Bloomington South. Well, this concludes your broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again next season as we kick off another exciting season of Plainfield Quakers football. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you there is a difference only you can make.